Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Queen Jean. What it do? It's that time for a fabulous West Side Wednesday vibe on the G Lu Show. Sit back and enjoy the view where they doing it at.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. Life changes, time rearranges. Visions of my head of one day being famous.
Hello? Hello, caller. Well, the hell with it. This is something new for the underground.
Right about now, you're about to be possessed by the sounds of OG Music Zone, G Lu.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's your boy G Lu. Back doing what I do. Back again for the next installment. This is the G Lu Show. I want y'all to sit back because we're going to have a real good time. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is OG Music, bro. Now I'm your maestro for the evening. G Lu. Yeah. We're going to have a real nice show tonight. I got a lot of special guests stopping through. Some surprises, you know what I mean? So I want y'all to just sit back and ride with me. G Lu Lee. Yeah.
Crank it up and piss off the neighbors. You got your radio locked on to the hottest station.
And that would be the G Lu Show, world famous West Side Wednesdays radio. I am G Lu. That is Queen Jean. And we are your hosts for tonight. Good evening, Queen Jean.
Good evening, G Lu. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. Got a hump in my back because it's hump day. It's Wednesday. You dig? We in the place to be. We in the place to be. You know what I mean? We doing our thing. You know, we got good energy, good vibes. We got great guests tonight. We got family in the house tonight. You know what I mean? Your family, so my family. And it's all family. It's a family reunion. So, with that being first off, let me give a shout out to our sponsors. None other than the legendary BTP Media Group, Jeff Kwan and the Kwan Glomerate. 93.3 Tweed FM Ism After Six Cruise Mix on Thursday nights. That's tomorrow night. Tune in. G Lu Tweed Cadillac. Incredible Javier. YouTube. D.D. Harrison, producer, publisher, author. Street Level Clothing. One World Magazine. And the GLuShow.com. Queen Jean, tell the people what's going on tonight.
Well, tonight we do have a great show. We're going to have great conversation. We're going to learn a lot that we don't know about our guests. We have the son of the legendary pioneer, Roger Clayton. We have Marcus Clayton, rest in peace to Roger. And we have the legendary pioneer, Scotty D, who was a big part of all of Uncle Jam's army. So that's what we got going on tonight. And I'm going to
say, our guest,
back
press
and
one when you're here. Sorry, I was telling our guest to press one because we got a lot of the phone lines are lit up already. I don't know who's who. So our guest, just press one when you're ready so we can bring you in. But shout out to everyone tuning in. We appreciate the love. Go ahead, Queen.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
most definitely.
I see.
Shout out.
Go
we
ahead,
got
Queen.
The switchboard lit up. Okay. So we're
going
to bring in our guest. Yeah, right on. I mean, yeah. I mean, we got you know, pioneers and legends and the son of. So, yeah, it should be lit up. So let's see what it's going to do. Because we're going to learn a lot tonight because of what we have. Hey. Good evening.
Hey, Queen Jean. How y'all doing? What's up, G. Luke?
What up, love one? How you doing, man?
All right. Peace and blessings, man. Thank you for having me, man.
That part.
Thank you for accepting
good
the invitation
it's a blessing.
To come. Yes.
So,
yes.
Hey, peace out.
So,
who else got with us?
Scotty D, he changed the whole narrative. It's no longer, I'm not a pioneer, we architect right now. Before we start the show, you guys, I want to just change the narrative all the way around. I want to apologize to everybody out there, all the young people that we wrote the book for, you know, in hip-hop and in this gang violence. You know, I just want to, you know, put myself up on the board for the war crimes I committed to my community. And my tribe is trying to do everything we can to move from this point forward in peace, love, harmony, and everything else that goes along with that for our families. We're losing too many people out in the streets of Los Angeles, California, Compton, Watts, and Long Beach. You know, it's really crazy right now. It's a wild, wild west. What's up, nephew? What you doing, nephew? You ready for this, nephew? Let's show what we do, man.
You know, we was on the phone. Me and Uncle was on the phone about an hour ago, and I had to get off because he started getting on fire just on our conversation.
You had to save some. You got to save some for
fire ass show. For the
right.
For the conversation for here, so we can. Yeah, I can dig it. And you know what, Scotty D? I was having a conversation just yesterday about what you just talked about on how, basically on what you just said, I was having the same conversation because I was talking about the 30-year anniversary of the truce. And I can recall a lot of different brothers coming in and saying that, you know that they take their responsibility of their part of where it is now with the young, you know, the little bam bams or the little wham whams or the little zoom zooms or whatever they little So, you know, much respect to you for even saying you want to change that narrative. So let's just pray that everybody get on board with that.
Hey, Scotty D, since you mentioned that, right, let me throw this at you. Just a quick thought about this. I think I asked someone else about this, so I'm going to throw this at you since you mentioned that, apologizing to the youngsters and, you know what I mean? And then, like you said, we just had the truce from Nine Deuce a couple of days ago, and I heard a lot of mixed reactions about it from homies, brothers that were there and OGs and all. And, you know, but the main thing I've kind of heard was that it wasn't the turnout they wanted overall, and then mainly, you know, with these youngsters, it wasn't a lot of youngsters there, and then it was some mishaps on the last day with some of the youngsters. So my question would be, man, do you think it is somewhat a responsibility, and I know it already has been, but I mean more of a responsibility, even if it's possible, because, you know, a lot of stuff is too far gone, but for the OG to take more responsibility with the youngsters, especially with the path they laid with the gangs and all that, because a lot of the OGs are pretty much out the way for the most part, and it is the youngsters kicking up the most dust. But that's the first thing the OGs say, you know, the youngsters out of control, can't talk to them, and they all this stuff. Do you think it's somewhat of a responsibility for the OGs to take on more of a role in trying to, you know, reach the youngsters or just do anything to get through to them?
No, it's not my responsibility to change not one soul on this earth. It's my responsibility to change myself, to lead by example. When Marcus met me, he was a little baby. Marcus don't know nothing about my gang life.
Right.
Don't know nothing about me hustling or going back and forth to jail. And he don't know any of that. When Marcus saw me as a young kid, he saw me in something that changed my life, which is the rap game.
Yeah.
It turned
in
from rap.
Right.
He saw it change.
Right.
Can you hear me? Yeah, he saw me. He saw one thing in me. He saw me just doing what his dad was doing, working.
Right.
Our isms are making land our foundation for what we were doing. You know, we knew all the gang members because I was part of it. Roger just knew him because he was one of the greatest dance promoters ever. 10,000 kids in one stadium. Had to know everybody. You had to know your community. You know every tribe that was out there.
Mm-hmm.
He knew who the biggest tribe was. So he put them tribes at security. So we were really being responsible at that time. We don't have a headquarters for these young people to go to. We don't have a team post. Nobody's going to no Boys and Girls Club because it's not happening. You can't get a job there. You know, you don't see it. The children don't, the young people don't see it there, so they're so fired up. They think they're going to die tomorrow, so they're so active. I have grandkids. My grandson
right.
was staying with me until a couple of weeks ago. He's 25 years old now. He told me straight, if eyeball to eyeball, Grandpa, I'm still trying to find my way. Well, you look at me. I put him on the right path. They want to do their own thing right now, so I can't be down on none of these young people for the simple fact we wrote the book they have read.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote the book from the gangs to the hustling. We never showed them, hey, man, you can go downtown and get a job. You know, work and make it. You ain't got to rob and take it. Work and make it. You ain't got to rob and take it. It's still military. I got a niece
right.
about to go to the airport. And I support every young person out there. I just did an interview in Las Vegas at the same time where that same day I left from the truth. Went out to Las Vegas. I was on my way out. I went out there and did an interview for this movie that's about to come out called Stranded on Death Row. And I did an interview. They was talking about Slim 400. I only met the young man one time. Cool brother. He had just that guy shot. He has a documentary about to come out with his voice on it. But he's not here.
Mm.
But they were asking me questions that I was not able to answer because I did not want to put myself out there without
right.
having the right information. So I just stand for my
right.
heart. I wanted to feel like I was a preacher. I wanted to be in a zone, a Holy Spirit zone, you know? And I just apologized
right.
to them young people that were in the audience. They were just there doing videos and stuff, and they all stopped and listened to me to do this interview. And I just apologized to the young man. And from that point forward, I said, I have to do this. Then my nephew called me today, and the same spirit was in me, and I talked to him about, you know, he started a conversation about,
mm-hmm.
you know, his fiance died. You know, in gang violence, she was just looking out of a window and died, you know, looking at something.
Mm.
Kids can't play in their yard. I got 16 grandkids, 3 great-grandchildren. So it's no way I'm not supposed to be responsible and hold myself responsible for what's going to happen to my young people. You know, it starts
right.
in the home, and I'm ready to put my stay in the community, so it's time for me to get back in the community with my other brothers and sisters, and we kind of deep. The young people
right.
have a right to do what they're doing. They have all the authority because they don't know. They're looking at our book, and so we have to, you know, not show them a different way. Just lead by example. That's my opinion. I mean, it might
right.
be somebody else's different
opinion. I agree.
I agree, too.
I said Marcus saw me as a, when he was a young man. He never saw my past. I just told him some of my past that he never knew it. You know, my grandkids don't know my past unless I tell them about it. No. They don't want to hear us older people. They want to see. They want to see. You know, we got to get some good people in political positions, you know, to help us, you know, with the finances. You know, we're sitting right here, right next to Mexico, and I go to McDonald's. I don't see too many of our young black people working no more. I mean, when we
right.
grew up, we had WLCAC. We had to see the program. We had programs to help us not veer that way. I was in every one of them. Cause I love money. But I still love money. I've been hustling since I was 9 years old, babysitting, popping hubcaps, washing cars. I did everything. I could paint curbs, whatever it took to get that almighty. I was on that money. We was hustling
right.
over where I was from. Until we start, you know, doing that. But still, you know, none of my homies ever came to me and said, Scotty, take this gun, let's go put it in work. They never did that because I already had my own stuff. So, and I take over the D-Loop show. I want to do this. So I'll go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, you're putting out some good content, so the people need to hear this. Yeah, so
you got to get mad. Yeah, people got to start getting mad about what's really going on in these streets. They're leaving too many people without you got young people dying. That means that's young kids without a father or a mother.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You know, to be raised, how are they going to raise them? They barely can raise themselves now. They don't know a lot of different things. Everybody want to be a rapper but don't want to be the manager. They want to be a rapper but don't want to be the road manager. They don't want to be the lawyer. You know, they're chasing that bag and they think it's all because they see, the big homie Snoop up there with getting and Dre and Drake and all. They see them living lavishly and they want to live like that. They can live like that.
Yep.
Go to the Air Force. Go to Job Corps. Get you a trade and go down to Trade Tech and do. I mean, why can't we be talking about what college you from instead of what tribe you from? You know, it's supposed to be more. We got to change the narrative in our young people. And I don't know how to do it. I'm not trying to find. I'm just gonna keep doing what Scotty D is doing, leading by example.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what you're doing.
All I can do is apologize to him for my wrong, my war crime. And all the PCP
and you know,
I made.
Speaking
I
on that.
So much dope
I want to salute Marcus for what he's doing for his boys. Because Marcus, you are a true example of being a great father to your sons. I see you. And it's not easy because you're a young man yourself, but you're doing
right.
it. And you are definitely leading by example. You are doing such a great job. So I just wanted to salute you publicly.
Yeah. Children are truly a grip. They're a gift, you know what I'm saying? I mean, my pops had nine, you know, I've lost one sister, but my dad had nine kids. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right. You know, and children are sponges, you know, so.
Right.
I love what you're putting out, Scotty. I love what you're putting out and what you're, you know, saying. So we don't mind you taking over and spitting what you're spitting out because you're not spitting out no bull. You're spitting out facts, you know,
right.
things that need to
facts.
Be said, you know, things that need to be said. They need to be heard, especially now, because when these parents are dying in the streets or getting killed like that, you have some of the children that grow up and just don't know which way to go in life because either their dad was a gangbanger and they lost their mom and they got lost. They don't know which directions to go. So I salute you for what you're saying here. So don't stop. Keep on trucking. Keep on trucking.
Yes, sir.
I'm a war vet and I got I went through the PTSD. Well, I have more things happen to me on the streets than it did in wartime. You know, so now I'm looking at, we have the 50th anniversary of hip-hop is next year. I got a phone call from some of the guys that got the license to do it on the East Coast, but, you know, my heart is right here on the West, and I really was speaking to them. They want me to do a few things to bring the West Coast to be involved with it, and it's hard to do that when nobody's ever even heard our story yet. So how can you involve a few of the giants that's out here because they got money. That don't make them a legend or a person of interest to me or the kids in the streets because, you know, you're not doing nothing in the hood. What have you put in the hood? You ain't put a computer center. You ain't helped us with a team post. You ain't gave nobody no money to even put your name on a boulevard. So
right.
I'm looking at it like that. You know, we have a 50th year anniversary. I don't even think they're going to even talk about Roger Clayton, one of our architects on the West Coast. Or
they
VIP.
You got to make sure they do.
So Well, I'm really, I was getting ready to start doing it myself until I got that phone call. I already had everything planned. I bought 10 domains just so you wouldn't miss me. You know what I'm saying? I tried to get ahead of everything last year, but now it's getting like in the middle of the season right now. And I got the phone call. I didn't ask for the phone call. They just called me, and I appreciate the call because nobody's going to talk about us from Seattle to San Diego. They're going to talk about a few of the major guys and a few female, maybe not one female going to even be announced, you know, as being a part of West Coast hip-hop history and rap history. You know, they're not going to talk about the Watts Prophets, one of our one of our national West Coast treasures, man, the Watts Prophets. I can keep on going with them brothers, man. Father I'm B, he got a new album out right now, and people don't know nothing about it.
Man, speak on it, Scotty. Science. Speak on it.
He's still dropping science, mathematics, and philosophy, you know, for the hypotheses. You know, you guys got to understand, it's only a few of me around, and only one of me that's going to speak on everybody. I don't just speak on myself. I brag and boast all day long on myself, but I speak of others because it wasn't me by myself out there in them streets, you know, trying to birth this baby. You know, we didn't just get it. We raised it. You know, now our children are off the chain. Wow. What you say? What they call them? What you say, Marcus, nephew? They wilding out. They like the TV show. They wilding out because they want their attention. They want some attention, and we're not giving it to them. We're not giving them the attention they need. They've been reading our book, and they haven't had an autograph signing. We gave them the book, and we haven't came back over, you know, to sign the autographs. You hear about these guys. They're portraying every internet show is glorifying our gang culture without no solution. We know the problem. Yep. What's the solution? Yep. Don't come at me with no more problems. I'm not going to accept no more problems. Where are the solutions? Okay, so I came up with it myself. Lead by example. That's just my opinion. That's what I'm doing. I attend any meeting, every meeting I'm invited to. If I don't know about your meeting, how am I going to attend it? We started the thing called Street Promotions in Los Angeles. Everything is not on the internet. I am not on your webpage. I am not one of your Facebook friends. I'm not on Instagram. I don't tweet with you. Put a poster out on the wall. Put some flyers in these streets like we used to. That's how we grew up. The internet is not everything. It's a good tool. It's a very, 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 very good tool, but it's not the only tool to get the public involved in what you're doing. And I'm burnt out. They changed the narrative a long time ago. They said, it's not Street Promotions anymore. It's Urban Lifestyle. Get the heck up out of here. I wasn't at that meeting. You're not going to change what my brother came up with, Roger Clayton, which we were street team. We had a street team. We didn't have no Urban Lifestyle communicational skill network. No. It was street team, period. So anyway, I can't attend your meeting if I'm not invited. Keep me on the VIP list.
Can't
I attend it. I don't hear about it. I can't come. In the meantime, I'm going to keep leading by example. And y'all shake it up like ketchup. I mean, I got to catch up. They got to catch up. We just got to stay in the groove. Our kids just want attention right now. We're not giving it to them. And it's so simple to give it to them. And it all comes to that vibration that they listen. They listen to the craziest music I ever heard in my life. Some of this music, it's damn evil. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't mean to laugh. That's real.
Switch the channel, homie.
It's very funny.
I mean, Marcus. Yeah. Look at Marcus. Marcus is a young man. Marcus is in tune with every new record come out. And even he be saying like, "Damn, what the heck?" You know what I'm saying? It is like that. I mean, everybody don't like what you coming out your mouth with.
Yeah.
And I think it's a part of a conspiracy, you know, to keep on trying to keep our young people in bondage, man.
Right.
What are you saying, Marcus?
That's what that drill music is. I mean, no one should knock no one for trying to feed their family, but it's like at the end of the day, you putting out these murderous messages and you moving with undercover cops. You got security. You staying in the gated community.
Right.
But the music that you putting out is influencing cats who is out here like for real, like literally on the concrete, and you see what the end result of that is, you know what I'm saying? But I'll never hate on no artists and how they make their art, but I just think that we should be more conscious of the messages that we're putting out, because when you got that microphone in your hand, man, it's a powerful tool, you know?
Absolutely.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's part of the industry, though, too, because this ain't nothing new, too, though, right? Mark, it's just so out of hand now,
right,
too, to the, all the music is crazy. We used to have a little bit of a variety. That was the thing, at least, but now we don't even have that. Everything is kind of the same. You don't really have any good R&B music anymore. Like, even the women, I look at some of these young girls, what they bumping. They be bumping this crazy shit, too, and it's like everyone is in a trance. You know what I mean? So it's like...
Right.
It's crazy right now, but this has been going on. It's more of the industry because they allow it.
Right.
Yeah, that's why we're putting out.
It's financially beneficial. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like,
yeah.
Right.
It's like making a cup of noodles. Like now the industry, like rappers now is like making a cup of noodles. Like just put some water on them. Throw them in a microwave for 3 minutes and boom, like you got a hit record, like, and like you said, it's just, that's the same formula that's been happening. But like I said, I ain't hating on nobody and how they eat, but I'm from the era where brothers was kicking knowledge and was kicking self love and was on that level.
Now, we don't have any of that no more.
Low frequency, you know what I'm saying? It's a low frequency music. Like in New York, they doing drill music, but they just adopted that whole Chicago vibe. Like, and
who would have thought? And New York is the home. New York is the mecca. And who would have thought that? Because New York is the mecca of hip hop. So I know them older cats got to be just you know mad as hell. You know, like you said, you can't knock no one. But like you said, who would have thought New York? You know, of all places,
right?
And gang banging. And gang banging, which they used to talk down on.
Right. So you were like, for me, it's like, I've been looking at the rap game like, Scotty knows, I was on the flyer with Houdini and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at 2 years old. And moving fast forward in my life, like, it's real surreal. I grew up on 10th and King, like when the riots happened, I was on 10th and King in Eastside Long Beach, and I can remember playing like the Domino, Sweet Potato Pie, and Ghetto Jam instrumentals and just loving those beats. And I never knew who DJ Battle Cat was. Like, I never met him and none of that. And then I didn't even really get to know him until after my pops passed, and then I would see pictures of Battle Cat on stage with my dad as a teenager, and my dad being with a Public Enemy shirt on. Like, I posted it on my Uncle Jam's Army Instagram page, and then DJ Pooh posted a picture when he was young and standing next to my pops, and he had on like a red, like that red leather Michael Jackson coat. Like, so my point is, like, my head is still spinning from like Scotty was saying, some of the guys who are like the quote unquote giants and who are everybody's OG now, like my pops was like damn near everybody's OG, like respectfully.
Right,
like
right.
He was
that,
Uncle Jam's
definitely.
Army was the platform. Uncle Jam's Army was the platform in which
cats
came and harnessed their skills and got off of the streets and became musicians and
foundation.
Became DJs and became rappers and dancers and all that. So I'm totally in line with Scotty, and that's why I wanted him on his call with me, because Scotty is one of the few people that can really tell the whole story. Like I said before, he could tell the whole story unbiasedly and just truthfully. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, man. Rest in peace. Rest in peace to Roger Clayton, Uncle Jam's Army. That name going to live forever, man, for real.
Amen.
You
for
got
that.
It. You got it living. Yeah, you got it, because on
right.
your Instagram, you keep it alive. You know, you keep that alive.
Yeah.
And you have
I don't know. Nobody,
no,
nobody's Instagram page is hotter than Marcus Clayton, Uncle Jam's on that. Man, you get all the information. I be tripping
don't
out when I just go, I'm like, what the hell? Oh, shoot. Marcus doing this thing because he really, you guys don't understand, Marcus was a baby inside of the
the master degree class. He was in the master's degree class. He was the Buddha monk. I mean, he was in the sensei's up under his dad, which is the king of all kings and all that. He was right next to God. He was right there every day.
I was telling my auntie today, my dad's younger sister, Adrian Clayton, that I used to walk in our record shop, man, on Imperial, Vermont, Scotty, and he would play me loops. He would be listening to loops all day, like old records, and he would be like, man, you should sample this, or he would hear an old R&B record, like an old 80s R&B record, and he was like, man, somebody should, like, sample this and make another record out of it. His mind was, like, amazing. He was always trying to be on to the next invention. Like, he truly was a genius, man. From bringing Kevin Slow Jamming James up to the record shop when Kevin had the hottest show on
Fine Collection. That's where I got all mine from. I got them from DJs.
Right.
Roger helped Kevin make those things. Roger helped Kevin make them because a lot of records you couldn't find. He didn't know the name of them.
Sure
he called Roger, even myself.
Sure did.
I would call
man.
Roger on sometimes. Roger would call me. It was a task. Roger would test you. I mean, if you knew anything about music, everybody came through Roger. I don't care who it was. I mean, everybody in Los Angeles, from Grover Wembley. I mean, there's some big scholars out there that Roger didn't compete with, but they were all in the same music business, and Roger was, like, there. Well, Roger made a difference that he went to New York and got with Russell Simmons and start bringing those East Coast acts, you know, to California because he was already having dances with, you know, 10,000 kids there. You know, we were doing promotions for other things. Matter of fact, you guys know that Roger Clayton – he called me up and asked me to help him promote this play called Checkmates. Checkmates is the film that Harry O did,
Denzel,
which is behind the career of Denzel Washington. We promoted that play.
Wow.
Right. And we did a lot of promotion. And Roger just trusted me a lot to help him, you know, put the work in. I didn't really ask Roger for no money because I had my own money. I just like to do it because it helped me sell my sweatsuit, man. I need you to go to San Bernardino. Put some posters up. Cool. I'm going out there anyway. You know, I got to sell my sweatsuits. I had one of the first custom sweatsuit clothing lines before Dapper Dan was doing it. It was the West Coast doing it. LZD Van Scott, Big D, over at J&D's exclusive custom sportswear on LC Gondo, right down the street from Roger's second shop, which was on Van Ness and LC Gondo. Our warehouse is on LC Gondo and Halldale and LC Gondo and Normandy. So we were right down the street from one another. Roger said, man, go, man, I ain't got time. Could you go to the airport and pick up Houdini? Oh, okay, I'll do it. You know, you need some gas? I'm good. Because I'm going to get them. I'm taking them straight to right down the street to my warehouse and make that money, you know, promote my thing. That's how me and Roger really, he didn't have a trip on me about money. Because I had mine and I had stores and I just loved doing that because it was a thing to do. We had to do it. I mean, it was building something. I didn't know we were building something big. I didn't know I was a part of something that was even larger than I would be. And I didn't know I was going to be here by myself to start telling the story and keeping these guys in line and keeping the story authentic. You're not going to get up here and lie. I'm not going to go for you. You're not going to start this over here without including us. I don't care. I mean, what you going to do to me? I can't go to jail for doing it. There's only two things you can do, yes or no. And that's what these kids got to understand. They all need to put themselves up. We can stop the violence tonight if they put all themselves up on war crimes for everything they did, make atonement with themselves. Okay, I'm not going to do that. No, I ain't going to kill nobody else from the ops. What is it? The ops. I don't know where this thing came from, this ops. You know, you're going to go to prison when you're killing.
Look, Unc, let me jump in just to build on that level right there. That ops thing, man, that came from a Call of Duty, man. On a real deeper
That's
level.
What
like,
being raised on. That's what they being raised
but
on.
But cats play Call of Duty, though. And They stay shooting, that's what you do. I had that revelation kind of like a few weeks ago, like on a deep subliminal level, like. Scotty, I've never asked you this. Can you tell me the story of the day that y'all took the King T album cover, man, with my dad on there, Keith Cooley, Mixmaster Spade, Pooh? Can you tell me, like, the day, was y'all in the alley, or how did that day go?
That's the one with the caddy?
Yeah, with the Cadillac. Yeah. Well, that day, it was crazy because Sheila did a, he called everybody. Well, back then, you wasn't calling nobody. You was beeping everybody. Everybody got beeped. And you had to call back. Hey, Elmo, we're supposed to shoot this album. Come in. Where you at? I'm in the valley. Man, hurry up and get down here. We did it right there in Hawthorne. It was right in Hawthorne. I think that was great. Andre Hooper, he had his dad owned the gas station right there on Compton Avenue and 120, right across the street from Martin Luther King Hospital. Their dad been owning that gas station, black owned, for many, many moons. I'm from that neighborhood, Carver Park, right there. So Andre told Keita they can do it over there. And that was Andre's Cadillac, matter of fact. And we went over to Andre's house, and we all met right there, and they took the picture. Next thing I know, we all on the back of an album that's classic. I was looking, man, that album classic, man. It was crazy.
That's one of the most classic albums.
Like,
King T. King T always had the classic covers. I got to give King T the most. All his albums, those covers were just classic. But that was definitely one of them. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, King T used to work. He worked at my store. I met King T at my shop. He came. He was at my store. Me and Roger went half on my first feeler shop out in the valley, Pacoima, California. And Roger, every time me and Roger would do a business together, he would never show up, and I just buy him up, give him back his money. He never would come because he was so busy doing what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? But he would encourage me, go ahead and do it. I got the money. He never show up, so I gave him back his money, and we keep it moving. And that's how it was. So I opened up my shop in Pacoima, and King T kept on looking in my window because I had turntables up in there. I had turntables. I had beepers, turntables, and we sold custom sweatsuits. However you wanted your suit, I could make a G-Lu sweatsuit show. A G-Lu show sweatsuit.
Right.
You carry a gun? If you carry a gun, I put a pouch right there in front of you.
You
put
still
your 25
those?
Automatic. Yeah, but I don't do
can
it individually. I'm going for a business. Yeah, I'm finishing up my pouch.
I thought I could sneak me one in, man, a G-Lu show.
But those things were so popular, man. We had stores in every city. I mean, every D-boy, which is a dope guy, that's so dope, wanted to wash their money. And they had them in every city, from the Bay to Chicago, Detroit, Miami. Man, they were all down in Houston, Texas, and Nashville, Tennessee. We were sending sweatsuits out everywhere. Me and Roger and every time we were sending a box out, I was like say, Boys in the Hood, NWA. We went up to Oakland. Roger had a show out there, and we met Hammer. So Hammer gave me a bunch of records, so I would put that record in there. Come back to L.A., King T just did a single. Unknown gave me boxes of records. I would put those records in my boxes, in my sweatsuit boxes, and send them across the country. Me and Roger would get on the road, like when NWA first started. The first couple of shows, Roger was involved with all that. And I was, you know, his road dogs, me and him rode together to Hobbs, New Mexico, all the way to Texas. You know, we seen Ice Cube not in the group no more in Arizona. One of my partners I sell sweatsuits to. You know, we've seen a lot of things in that. I mean, even NWA, they were just a reflection of what was going on in the streets. They weren't violent like that, like turning the kids on. They didn't turn us on and make us go start killing up each other in the streets. No, we had, the gun was pointed the other way. Fuck the police. Fuck the environment, the establishment. It was against the eye. Those were our ops. They made the ops us now. That's crazy. I done turned the ops around. Yeah. I don't know who. We had the Batarang. Batarang was, you know, telling stories like that. We were doing it for real. We were really making a reflection of what we saw to you guys, to the world, to the other communities
Scotty,
going through
Scotty,
what we're going through. Yeah.
Scotty, that's the difference between, and I heard Marcus kind of speak on it, but that was the difference between the so-called reality rap or gangster rap back in the day. It was kicking that reel, but it had the message. It wasn't promoting or telling you to do this. It was telling you what was going on, what was happening. You know, you're going to be locked up. They just made it sound fly and good, but they kicked that message with it. You know what I mean? Like the battle rap, you know, which is a classic, but told a message of what was really going on. And you know what I mean? That's the difference between
right,
now and today. Like you said, they turn it around. It's just about killing us and each other and taking drugs and shit, you know?
Back then, cats was pressing up their own tapes, their own vinyl, and hitting the street with it because there was no downloading, there was no streaming.
Oh yeah, you had to be in the street.
And like that record right there. To my recollection, he didn't even have no label deal. You know what I'm saying? So he was selling them out the back of his truck to all of the D boys in Compton.
It was on tape. It wasn't even a record yet. It was on tape.
Wow.
Tidy T did the battle ram. Mix Master Ken did Helicopter, Nightmares on the Way. They had the dopest reality record. Mix Master Ken and Tidy T are the greatest storytellers on the West Coast to me. And just to follow up with that, I remember when Boys in the Hood came out, we all dissed Ricky. Because he was a square, he didn't want to get involved, and we applauded Doughboy.
Doughboy.
Me and Marcus was talking about this earlier. Even to society, you know, we applauded Kane and was dissing the homeboy that had that was Asalaamu Alaikum, the Muslim brother that, you know, changed his life and went to the Air Force or whatever. And he turned back around with South Central. Man, come on. OG Bobby Johnson was a gang leader. Him and his homie was running the gang. OG Bobby Johnson get caught up in the jail and he changed his life through the Muslims. You feel me?
Yeah.
Allah saved him and brought him back to the hood to what? Get his son, out of what he was up to. To save his son. And we shunned
even
him.
His own
we
son
shunned,
turned on him, though.
We shunned
him. Like that
right,
being
we
soft.
Shunned. Yeah, we shunned, and we shunned the positive and applauded the negative. If we got to change that narrative, man. It's easy to do. It's very easy for us to do, and all we got to do is lead by example. I mean, when OB Bobby Johnson got out, he had nothing. What did he say? Man, I'm good. I ain't doing that no more. And stuck to the script. Mm-hmm. Stayed in the street.
Right.
I got a man, a brother, Malik Spellman. You guys know Malik Spellman? Malik
yeah, that's
is
my
the
guy.
Piece. Man, Malik, man. Malik is, man, I've been knowing Malik. Man, Malik been in the field, man, for a long time, man. Malik older than me. I'm 60. Malik is like 62. And he's not even from California, but he fell in love with this thing, and he see it's a need, not just him. You know, back in the day with Tony Bogard and Pierre Kors, the Hands Across Watch, we had a lot of unity. We had the peace treaty back in '90s. You know, doing the Watch riots. Nipsey Hussle was one of our man. Come on, man. Nipsey was a perfect example for these young people to look at. Malcolm is gone. Martin is gone. Major is gone. You know. All the Black Panthers are gone. You know, Nipsey was it. And what they do? Moved him out the way. But the key, but what he did, he brought the Blues and the Red, both those tribes together before he even demised. Before his demise, they was already on the same page. Young. Funking with the young. They were doing their thing, man. YG.
Yeah.
Blood. Nipsey. Crippin'. Bomb song, they was doing it, getting it together. And then somebody got to take that, fill that void. And it's so simple to do. Just lead by example. It's a lot. Quit being scary. Don't get old and get scary. Don't stay young and have to, you know, pull that strap. I know y'all can't fight like we used to back in the days. You know, we knuckle up. You know, we come gunning for you. Gunning for you back then. When we came gunning for you back then, that means we had to put these things on you, these hands. To put these hands on you. We coming gunning for you.
Straight head up. Straight head up fire.
Yeah, now you say, I'm coming gunning. They don't even say coming gunning for you. I'm going to go slide on this dude. everybody can get together, do you let you slide, but we can't get together and make up a solution for this thing. So I'm just tripping off this whole thing, man. It's a blessing for me just to be able to still be alive, to speak on it, and not just speak on it. I mean, I'm active in the field. I get out here. I have a prison ministry. So I'm all over the place. my prison record. I help people put the criminal records I've been having since 2007 when I got out of prison. And on them, behind them prison walls, young kids, when you go to jail, that same op that you didn't fire on because you wouldn't fight nobody, you didn't pull the gun out and kill somebody innocent, that same op going to try to save your life on that yard when you got to go back-to-back against another race. But I ain't trying to dismiss our brown brothers and brown. Our brown brothers is because a lot of those brothers are part of our culture, the hip-hop and rap culture. I mean, they supposed to be balling. I was telling Nephew that earlier. They supposed to be right next to Mexico. I ain't getting down on my brothers, you know, from Guadalajara or Mexico and all. Those are my brothers. But if we was right next to Africa, we'd have diamonds too. We'd be balling. But I'm going to tell you one thing, like I told my nephew earlier. We're going to come back. We'll be back. We'll
that's,
be back
that's
on.
Real
we're going to hold
right
that
there,
bag for right now.
Wow.
Hold that bag for right now. We will be back,
wow.
And we will have the bag too. You know,
right,
we're going to be living
right
in peace, love, and harmony real soon. But right now, we got to just change up. We got to change the narrative and save some of our young people with what we have. And that's just leading by example.
Hey, let me hold on one second. Where is this at? I thought I had a caller, but what I want to play something right quick, man. Take a quick break. We'll be right. If I can find it, shit.
I should give you my song.
Yeah, okay,
my favorite song. We all in the same game.
What's your favorite song? Oh, man. Okay, don't trip. I'll play that for you. And I got Marcus. I got your song, too. I'm coming up whenever you're ready for it.
What's up? Yeah, you let me know.
A treat for you fans of Olga's
okay.
music. Our Straight from the Streets crew of Keith O'Derrick have the story of a man who turned his record collection into a family-owned store specializing in oldies.
Roger. What influenced you to want to start collecting oldies, the goodies?
Well, I've been buying 45 since I was stealing lunch money when I was a little kid.
Although Roger has been collecting his oldies since he was a kid, he still believes that the music of yesterday has more of a universal appeal than the music of today.
I think the music of yesterday was more or less, it was made from the heart, the feelings of it. It was real. It wasn't mechanical. Now, music nowadays is made with a drum machine and computer. You know, it's mechanical. It doesn't have any feel to it.
A lot of people say that some of the records that they can't find for the radio stations and stuff is found here. How do you get hold of it?
Imports all over the world. We search for it. We order stuff from the East Coast and then, like I said, Japan, Germany. You know, there's a lot of traditional soul that's available in other countries that you can't get in the United States. That tells you soul has a mass appeal worldwide.
Do you get a lot of support from the brothers and sisters that's low-ride in the community?
Oh, yes, and a lot of Hispanics also. Hispanics, it's really amazing. Oldies is a way of life with a lot of Hispanic kids, 11, 12 years old, come in and ask for intruders, Temprees, escorts, where a lot of our young black kids are really into Too Short, Snoop Doggy Dogg, Ice Cube. But in the Hispanic community, it's a way of life to hear oldies. So it's really amazing.
You feel it's important to preserve such music from the past, and if so, why?
Because it's less violence from the music that's out there in the stores. It's the grooves, you know, the music is go with the flow, you know?
What is the most requested oldie but goodie that normally asked for by your customers?
Ooh, Superfly, the Mac, Best of the Dramatics, Chi Lights, all the real music, all the real pure soul of the 60s and 70s. We've heard people coming here screaming, and, oh, I've been looking for that for years. We hear that all the time.
Although Roger runs his own business, his mother still constantly reminds him to keep up his Johnny Mathis collection.
Oh, and remember I told you to order me a Johnny Mathis. Did you pick that up today?
Johnny Mathis.
She loves Johnny Mathis. Feelings.
Johnny Mathis sings love ballads. And when Johnny Mathis is singing, Johnny Mathis has an orchestra with violins and all of the different instruments that I enjoy listening to. I feel that each person is an individual, and if they like rap, and that's fine. I like oldies but goodies, that's fine. And we need all kinds of music because we have all types of customers.
Well, since we opened this
store, I had to play that.
I mean, it's for business, but it's for the love of the music. People that come in here, like I said, they show a lot of love for the oldies, and they down with the oldies, and the music just means a whole lot to them.
Yeah, man, rest in peace, Roger. I had to play that one time, man.
That was amazing. Yeah, that was amazing. I love that.
Where did that come from?
All those good old school songs in the background. I mean, that comes
I'll send
from
that to
crates.
You. Scott, I'll send that to you, bro.
Yeah,
man,
That was, right, Scotty? That was amazing.
Man, that got me. Just to hear Roger's voice like that told me I'm on the right page with my nephew. I gotta stick with my nephew.
Yes,
he's speaking through his stuff all these years later, since 2010 later, and I'm still alive. And now we're right at the forefront of the 50th anniversary of hip hop. You know, and my brother got to be spoken on. Period. He had to be spoke on. Not just him, but several others that have to be spoke on.
Yeah. Like you said, just have to be.
Have to be. Hey, Scotty. I got a special call. Let me take this call, man, right quick for you, Scotty. Caller, are we there? Caller, hello.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Who that, Malik?
That's Malik.
The one and only.
Just asked about you.
Hey, Malik. Man, what's up, Malik?
Up,
I was just speaking on you, brother. Man, what's up, my brother? Man, I ain't seen you in years, man, but I've been seeing you on the... Man, come on, brother, man. I'm ready.
Come on, man.
You
know how we get out, man, like gravity. You understand what I'm saying?
Man,
yeah,
Roger didn't
stop,
even
man.
Didn't have it no other way, man.
Now, I hear you on there blowing and glowing and flowing. You know, getting that truth out there based on a true story.
Yeah.
You know. But what I wanted to tell y'all was this. It's three things that makes up life. There's time, there's space, and there's gravity. And if you add one more element, it's called speed. So if you traveling through time, see, the white man, he look up into space, and then he tries to dictate time. For example, he'll say that God made the earth in 6 days, when no, God probably made the earth in 6 parts, 6 different episodes. He'll tell you that you can go into space and time. In other words, he'll tell you to monitor your space, and then we watch in time. But if you got space, the more into space you go on an airplane, the more into time you go. So when you fly from L.A., and by the time you get to Texas, it's dark. So you need time to develop as a human being, space to grow, and then you need that gravitational pull towards that rail in order to get the 3 or 4 elements that make you complete as a human being. So watch out for time and space. So what you do is, when you want to get more time on the earth, you give the sucker space. You get away from them. You gravitate towards something else. I'm going to say it again. Time and space don't go together. They serve individual purposes. Because if I jump on a plane from here to Atlanta right now, space and time is going to dictate where I'm at and how I'm at. It's going to be dark. So
right.
Time, space, and gravity in your life. You give yourself time. You give suckers that space, because when the haters hate, you build a bigger gate. And then you gravitate towards something else.
Hey, man. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Man, Malik, man, when you get on this show, Malik, I didn't hit you, man. What that's all, man. It's all, but I lie, man.
I'm always around this show. I just
all
be listening.
Time. Come on, man.
You know, I just be listening, though. You know, but you one of my true day one.
You got baby.
You know, and then we got a part of the circus. That's all I can tell you. The circus don't got nothing to do with us.
That part.
Nothing. I don't care what they doing, what they say. That has absolutely nothing to do. That's the spider web in the Quran. It's lure. The spider web looks is beautiful to the eyes. It's luring in nature, but it's flimsy.
Mm.
So you can go with that spider web if you want to, thinking it's strong.
and get a bunch of bullshit put on your face, you stay out the spider web because there's a big old black widow in the middle. Watch this world.
Come
it's like
now.
A spider web. It looks strong, but it's flimsy in nature. As soon as you get in there, it's going to collapse. So we're not part of the circus. You leave the circus alone unless you are a weirdo. That's the bait from Uncle Ed. Uncle Ed on that. And Uncle Ed taking all bets. So I'm telling the listening audience out there, don't be a part of the circus. You use time, you use space, you use gravity. You ain't got to listen to me, but you'll listen to the motherfucking cell door shut when they do. You ain't got to listen to me, but you'll hear that damn song when they talking about I'm going up yonder. You ain't got to listen to me because goofies, Disneyland even closed down sometime, Pimpin.
Right. And we
sure facing gravity.
There it is.
And Pimpin like Scotty. If you ain't doing that, get the fuck out the way because this is a real serious situation. And it done got now where it's directly aimed at your ass. Not Ukraine.
And our children.
And our children. That's why I just left my ranch with my grandson. He jumped out the car on a ranch with a basketball. Generational wealth. You ain't thinking about generational wealth. Shut up. Use an elf and get out the way. Get back on the shelf, elf. You Humpty Dumpty in this nigga. You ain't thinking about generational wealth. That stupid chain you got on your neck that you spent $7,000, I could have got me 10 acres and left it to my grandson. That stupid bottle of champagne you bought for that stripper you don't know, dummy, that could have went your child's college fund. When he turned 18, that same 10 racks would have turned to Harvard. So you got to think. Then use time, space, and gravity. Because he that controls your thinking controls your movement. I got a bunch of other slick fly shit I can say all day long. But I'm just trying to tell somebody, God told me to tell somebody that, man. You got to get away from suckers and get to the real shit. We've been on procrastination and on the banks too long. And we got a gang of excuses why we ain't succeeding in this shit. Nothing. But we sit back and watch suckers get it. Busters, real busters.
I love it. That's that cash flow quadrant when you was talking about that generational wealth, man. That's what you got. We supposed to been did that. When we first started
on,
in the rap game, we didn't know that we can invest in real estate. And I mean, we was out there. We was in the early 80s having all kind. I mean, from 83 to 88, everybody was having a lot of money in it.
Man, black people
just
went through a little sideways sprinkle of reparations the other day recently, and then nobody knew what to do. They was Airbnb-ing, getting on planes and fighting and doing silly shit. But how many acres we'd have chipped in and we'd have got that, or we'd have put that 13,000 up and bought that Louisiana Fried Chicken franchise and then built it out for 60 racks. And then four or five of us from different hoods would have owned it. So you ain't going to shoot around this chicken fan player. So black people got their priorities. The first thing black people learn is the master that I noticed. Not black people, niggas. I got to separate the two. Niggas mastered one thing, having an excuse. They the king of that and failure. Niggas the master telling you about failure and tell you it didn't work, it didn't go through, something happened. The master that shit, trickeration that he learned on the plantation. Because he's a Negro, he grew from the white man's knee up. You's a Negro, you grew from that honky's knee up, pimpin'. Because you're not an independent thinker. You's a chiller. You like to chill, so you done froze. So I ain't talking about getting no money, so don't get at me, man. Like, man, fuck you. Don't get at me like that. I'm talking about keeping your ambition. Because what I got in my pocket don't make you shit. Nothing. So that's what I want to get on the G. Lou show. Hope they don't ban me.
That's what we hope.
That's Malik.
When they ban
me. They haven't banned us yet, Malik, so keep on trucking.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I'm going to tell you like this, though. This is a marathon for real. You have to be aware of the bait that the fishermen use. You see an old commercial, you got to be a little quicker than that. You got to be a little quicker than that. You have to be thinking. I don't care if you listen to hip-hop, kissing, riding down the street, your Bentley broke in jail. As long as your eyes is blinking, you better be thinking. And I'm serious because it's a cold game. Turn on that news. Everybody you see on there that got knocked down did not know they was going to go to penitentiary that day. They did not know they was going to die that day. They did not know they was going to lose their bread. So you got to get a stronger mind fucking set and stop mastering failure. Because I found out something that God can't do. I'm the smartest nigga on earth. Faith. God can do everything.
Malik Spellman. Hey, hey. Malik, hold on right quick. Let me take one more caller here. I got another special caller checking in. Caller, hello. You're live on the line. Good evening.
What's going on, man? Peace to
what's
the distinguished
sir?
Panel. Mr. Spellman is a hard act to follow. When he speak, y'all better listen like E.F. Hutton, because I be listening, man. That man ain't going to tell you nothing wrong, and he ain't going to steer you on. Big shout-out to Marcus, Queen Jean, Scotty D,
hey.
Man. What's going
I'm
on,
right
my brethren?
Hey,
what's
let me
up?
Tell you something, brother. When you come out of the Tweed Institute of Higher Learning,
he said Tweed.
Say it again.
That's Tweed,
mm-hmm.
man.
That's Tweed.
Sweet Cadillac Blackberry. Sweet Cadillac Blackberry.
He is I, and I am him. He is I
am
and I am him. I know one thing, man. I want to tell Marcus, man. I want to tell Marcus something. Marcus, I never met you, but I've been knowing Scotty before I even had children. You know, now my daughter's is grown. I want to tell you, man, that some of the best nights of my life was spent at those Uncle Jim Army parties, especially the convention center ones. Now, we ain't going to talk about the sports arena ones. Those kind of went bad. So that one kind of went bad. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The best night, if you was with us in that time frame, you would have, man, it was like going to a candy store. If you want a light skin one, a dark skin one, a thick one, a skinny one, you would have had your choice at whatever and listened to hip-hop in its infancy and been inspired. Man, it was about the music and the girls in the front. Believe me, man, you came in the era for you, but if you was in the era when we was out there, my God, you'd have all the memories that Scotty D got. I'm surprised, Scotty, that you remember after all that shit. You remember a lot of shit, man. I am thoroughly impressed by that, because as I get older, a lot of things are kind of fuzzy and foggy. But I know one thing, man. We had a great time. But like Malik said, we didn't invest that money right. We didn't have any financial advisors to tell us something. You know, to look just put away 20%. Just give me 20%, and I could turn that into something. We would have just known that, too, because, man, I be telling niggas a lot of times, I done blew more money than y'all ever had. And when I think about that, I always thought I was bragging and boasting. But when you look back, as we get older, it's like, damn, I really did fuck off a gang of money that a lot of niggas ain't never, ever had. So, man, it kind of make you really humble, man, and kind of think about shit. But
well,
anyway,
see,
I don't want to talk.
Let me tell both of y'all something now. And I want y'all to know this from my heart. You and Brother Scotty and G. Lou and I are just a manifestation of that. You guys are the oak tree. We just the nuts. And the shit that y'all see on TV that niggas done stole and ran off with, culture vultures and thieves and whoremongers and suckers, them niggas, you gave that to them because you looked at it like God gave you a blessing and you shared. It wasn't yours from the beginning. So you ain't lose nothing.
Definitely.
You created a whole new culture. You know how many millionaires y'all done created that's black, that never touched no bread since slavery to faux slavery? So when you look at a milk glass spilled over, you either get you a cat and let him lick it up, or you leave it the fuck alone. When you spill milk,
well,
I buy you a cat. And you let him lick the motherfucker up, or a puppy. Because the shit that y'all did can't be replaced and it can never be replicated. And the suckers didn't know what to do with it because, like we say, we was through with it before suckers knew what to do with it.
What you mean? That part right there. That part right there. And that's why we put
count
it all in time capsule.
Exactly. You don't count what you lost. You count your blinking of your eyes. You count some breaths in your body and the movement of your fingers. That's what you count. You count your children and your grandchildren and your land and the fact that if you just really wanted to, you can do it again. Hey, sweetie, that's how you do that. You don't ever look backwards, homie. It's forever forward. Straight like that.
Yeah.
Y'all are monumental. They need to put Mount St. Moore and whoever that Rushmore, put y'all face up there. Not them suckers. Y'all put them suckers up there to absorb the bullshit and to show how fake they are. Because the copy, I'd never be worth more than the original. I'm going to say it again. The copy would never be worth more than the original. And it's never too late. So what we did in the past was just a bunch of blessings that we had.
We got a chance right now. This show right here tonight is one of the best shows I ever heard on the internet.
Wow.
The internet. We are talking real truth, real life, real solutions. And the solution with me, I can only do one thing. Lead by example. Do Scotty D. Let these people see what Scotty D do. Tweed.
You know what he did?
I mean, Tweed got one of the best shows ever. Malik, you got one of the best formats ever. Man, I couldn't do what Malik do. And we can come together and be like that thing that transform and get all together and let's make us and show whatever. Do what we do.
Yeah.
We got some forces right now that need to be dealt with. We got some forces right now that need to be dealt with, and they can't be dealt with through the internet. I'm a street dude. I am a street dude. I didn't come from a gang for nothing. I mean, God put me through this whole thing I've ever done. Touched some people, talked to some people, went through the gang culture, went through the military, went through Job Corps, you know, went through the streets and fell in love with hip-hop in 1978. Like you said, we were through with it before they knew what to do with it.
Precisely.
My best friend is Coolio. My best friend is Coolio. Grew up in Compton. Tweed lived right next door. He grew
right
up
across
in the
street.
Mecca of hip-hop on the West Coast, came from the Lutheran Garden Project in Compton, California. Compton is the
Richard
Mecca on the West Coast.
Richard McMichael, dude.
DJD.
Yeah.
DJD.
Yeah.
And the whole crew.
And the funny part about it.
DJ Magic that died on Crenshaw hit that pole. What's that DJ name that hit that pole on Crenshaw?
Say that again.
DJ Magic that hit that pole on Crenshaw to be on the radio.
Oh, Magic. That's Magic. DJ Magic. Magic. Magic Mike. Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
Back in the days, right.
Yeah.
Malik, you know what? Steve Malik, you was there.
I knew him, too. He was cool. He was cool.
And Malik, you are the epitome of a real peacemaker. Come on, I couldn't go. I know people from every neighborhood, but you was in the neighborhood. I know them, but you was in the neighborhood. And what you're doing right now is showing us. And right now, I don't want to talk about the problem we had. We need some solutions right now. And the only solution I know of is something we need to follow. We don't have Malcolm. We don't have Martin. Farrakhan is right there, but he's about to retire. You know, what do we have as our spokespeople? We have to start somewhere with us. I mean, I got a spokesman. His name is Soul Brother Number One. He's a dummy because you can't kill a dummy, but you can kill a human soul. You know what I'm saying? You can kill me. You can blow my head off all day long, and my whole legacy will be gone. But that dummy, he'll stand right there forever. It's got to be some type of solution that we can all pinpoint to keep it moving from this point forward. Like you said, Marie, you got to go from right now to today.
But see, you got to understand one thing, Scotty. There's no simple solutions, only intelligent choices. And the best solution and intelligent choice is the efforts that y'all put down already, because it take a while to grow an oak tree. And y'all have seen a manifestation of your work. We just got to stop starting our people at slavery and start them at the beginning with God, because what you seen Malik and us do on TV, that didn't have nothing to do with us. That was God. I was high of weed just walking through neighborhood. That was God and his angels guiding the nigga. We have already begun the process because we separate the weed from the tear. The tear is the niggas. The weed is the black folks. That's it. And black is not a people. It's a condition. So what you see now is that brothers like yourself, and I repeat myself over and over, what is it that God loves most about a person? That what you most consistent with. So if you're consistent with being a good person, that's what it is, man. And that's it, and that's all. So brothers like you, G. Lou, Sister Jean, Scott, brothers like sisters like y'all, man, come on, man. Y'all already did the hard labor, man. Y'all done carried the wagon long enough. Now it's time for you to ride in it.
That's right. I'm ready to ride. I'm a Jesus kind of rider, man. I'm a God body over here.
Man, what's kind of funny to me, by me growing up on the West Side, I had never, ever really knew anybody from Compton or ever came to Compton. And when I did end up going to Compton, Coolio lived right across the street. DJ Farr used to come on the other side of the fence at the Lutheran Gardens. I met Richard McMichael, just some good people that I'm still in contact with to this day. So, man, it's like you never know who's going to come into your life, and you never know what contribution that they get from you or what you give to them. Just cherish them as individuals, because believe me, man, some people, you are unforgettable. You just can't forget about a lot of people that are monumental in your life. And I figured, just like how you said, Scott, if you lead by example, Malik, you've always led by example. We're trying to lead by example. I believe that, man, we might not have all the answers, but we can at least help the situation. That could be our part. We might not could solve it, but we can assist it.
Well, yeah. There's no simple solutions on intelligent choices. And the choice is, when you find a dirty glass, you put a clean one beside it so people can make choices, like E-40. Everybody got choices. But we got to understand that this is worldwide, systemic, global, intergalactic oppression, period. And when you got the Rothschilds, not the Rothschilds, let's get the English right, the Rothschilds controlling all the money, when you got aliens controlling all the money, then don't feel like you've been going to die defeated. You've done your part. You squabble. Like Muhammad Ali say, rumble, young man, rumble. And you stay rumbling. You stay squabbling. Rumble. Okay. I don't give a fuck if all your teeth knocked out, stomped out, and the homies left you. You swing your toenail. You windmill like a girl. I don't give a fuck with it. You spit your last word. Cause you goddamn right. Cause the first thing the deaf angel do when he grab your ass is take your tongue from you. Because he don't want to hear no excuses. None.
So we, hey, man, guess what, too, man? Not to cut you off, but Richard McMichael told me way back in the day, he said, do you remember that Coolio song, A Can of Corn? I'm like, yeah. He said, nigga, that was 1,000% real. And look how he rose through the ashes, you know? And it was like, damn, we all used to listen to that song, and that shit was real, man. To only have a can of corn, dude, shit ain't no joke. Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, man, I thank God for you, Scotty, and I really do, and I don't say that in radio. I say that in sincerity on my prayers, on the prayers of my children. I thank God for you, Sister Jean, Brother G-Lou, Tweed, and the challenges that he had in his life, and I thank God that we all blinking and ain't stinking. We still blinking. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we being pleased by somebody, man. Keep your prayers up. Put some forgiveness in your game, some humility. Dougie Fresh told me one day, he said, Malik, the key to success is humility. And then Don King told me one day, he said, Malik, I said, Don, what you want us to remember you by? He said, Malik, we can't stop till we get a chicken in every pot and a Ferrari in every garage.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Hey, Malik.
Wow.
Hey, Malik. Malik.
Yo.
I'm gonna get your number from G Lou. Gene, they got your number. I'm gonna get your number. I'm gonna call you after the show.
Yeah, cause you about to be on my new TV show called What's Your Story, and I'll send it to G Lou if he'd like to post it on his page. And I'm going from city. I want to know not your gangbang story. I want to know the essence, the quintessentials of your existence, the essence of who the fuck you are.
Well, I got off the point. I'll tell you when I got off the brass foot. I'm a type of person like this, man. You got a pen, Malik, I give it to you on the air because I give out my number every time I do it.
Now give it to me because Uncle Ed be listening. Give it to him, and we're going to use the Underground Railroad.
That's right.
That part.
Malik, love
to
you.
Hey,
I love you, man.
Love you, baby.
Queen D, I love you because... I spoke on Malik and y'all brought him in on the show. That's what y'all don't understand. I mean, you gotta have your comrades. You have to have your team.
Yes.
Even Jesus Christ had a team. I mean, the honorable Farrakhan. Everybody has a team. You can't do this without a team.
Yeah.
Martin, Malcolm,
even God got help.
Even God got help.
I'm gonna say it again. That's why I tell dudes. Ain't no iron team. Even God got help, homie.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And if you sitting at this you last couple like disciples. Me, you, Tweed, Gene, and all them, it's a Judas in the midst.
Right.
Mm.
You can't be a part of God and don't have the devil follow you every day. Because see what he do to us? He do little bitty shit, like make you drop something late on your rent, your insurance paper didn't go through, because he can't touch us physically and spiritually. But he do little bitty shit to us.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch it. Your car got a ticket. He do little pity shit to you.
Go to your grandkids. Go to your
finances. Yeah, man. But if you sharp and you about to, and let me say this last thing before I shut up before the last thing again. Black people need some motherfucking money. A man
that's
with no land has no voice. We need them new Bentleys. We need them new motherfucking Range Rovers. We need them properties from French Sands. We need to resurrect our bank accounts. That gold, this white man's problem ain't got shit to do with us. Where is that check? We need it 7 days, seven ways, top side up, ink still wet on the motherfucking check. Fuck all that old poverty and all that old slavery shit y'all be having trying to get us to talk about. Where's that motherfucking check you sent to Ukraine?
The one that they gave to the Indians.
Okay, that's the fuck I'm talking about then.
The one that gave to the Indians.
Yeah, and Charlo's up in that bullshit. Yeah. Where's our money? That's what I want to know. Like J.W. Wentworth, where is my money? You white folks ain't going to keep swallowing us up. Yeah, y'all going to swallow us up in all our problems every day and our health and our people in jail. No, no, no. Fuck that. Where's that check?
Well, they gave us one, the stimulus check. And look how niggas fucked that off.
You
look
got one day with no stimulus check. That was an appetizer for that reparation. But we ain't looking for no reparation, honky. We looking for repatriation. Put me back. Fuck you, fuck me.
That's right.
Give us that land. We want that land, baby. Give us that land. We do our own thing. Give us our land.
And when you send me your, when I get your number, I'm gonna send you what we got. And let me just say this last thing. My views and opinions does not reflect that of the host or its sponsors. I take a total disclaimer. This is entertainment, like Fox motherfucking news. That's not real news. That's entertainment.
Entertainment.
For you suckers out there that's going to come with that bullshit. Because I ain't got nothing for you but prayers. I ain't got no bullets. I ain't got no squabble. I ain't got none of that shit, no lawyer. I got these salats for your ass. Now back your ass up.
Come on now.
I got
Malik Spell me, y'all.
Fuck with me and see.
That's Malik Spell me, y'all. Hey, let me take one more caller here. We got one more caller, and then I want to go to Marcus's new song. Caller 323, you're live on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're live. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Adrian.
Hey.
Hello.
Adrian.
What's up, Queen? How you doing, sister?
Can you hear us?
I think you're in an intergalactic area right now. You must be going through Saturn because they're having a solar storm.
Did you want to speak? Maybe they didn't want to speak. They had their press one, so maybe not. But thank you for the call. Much love. Okay. Is Marcus still there?
Yeah, he's still on.
Where's Domi Marcus at?
He told me he was still on.
Okay, we'll wait for him to come back. But okay, all right, Malik and Scotty, I thought we had another caller. My bad. And I want to get to Marcus's song when he comes back. Anyone else out there, press one if you want to speak. Go ahead, bro.
Uncle Ed done got hold of the phone line, bro.
That's right, Malik. That's all. You know how they do it, Malik. They're going to do us like that, man, because we too
strong. If we was only talking about
sex,
money, and
power.
Murder, it would have went through. Uncle Ed got that, man. We're looking for the Messiah, and he is too.
That's right.
They not on their mother little joints with that foolishness. They looking
okay.
for the
Messiah. Hold on. Okay, we got another caller. Caller, hello.
Hello. Yeah, man, you know, this is Reverend Ali, man. I just want to get on the call with y'all, man, and give some hugs and everything, you know, and give some love and some push-ups to G. Lou and some hugs to Queen Jean. I'm down with Malik. I'm down with Scotty D. We used to be in North Hollywood walking down the alley at the body count, you know, rehearsal with Ice. You know, well, you know what it is, Malik. Real G, man. Anyway, continue. I just wanted to be on the phone with y'all. I'm back quiet.
Hey, Ali, I'm glad you segued it in. Cause let me segue this. Let me take that segue you got. Let me let the record reflect.
Marcus off a hold. He said he's on hold.
Let me segue up and segue you put.
Oh, okay. He said he's on
hold. He's not on hold.
Hey, Malik, okay. When you get finished, explain to everybody what the kiwi is. What the kiwi is. Explain the kiwi.
He's not on hold, though.
Oh, hey, yeah. Malik. Well, you know, the kiwi is that demonstration that's in the neighborhood. And in Swahili, the word Crip, California Revolutionary in Politics, is a kiwi. And in the penitentiary, they don't call themselves Crips and Bloods like that. They call themselves brothers because they walk the child together. Look at the videos. So the kiwi demonstration for you youngsters, when y'all out in these streets, that same dude you shooting at right now going to be your celly under the Kiwi Act. So you got to know how you can flip what you're doing and really know who you're identifying with, because what we having amongst us is each other as black people is tribal wars. That's why the Vatican got 53 miles of straight books on black people. Look it up. So we not no mystery to this earth, huh? So we been Kiwis and Dominoes.
Y'all people don't know when they go to prison, they're gonna be with one of them. They ops on one of them yards, going back to back, or they go to Job Corps, or they go anywhere out of the state of California, or even in California, they're gonna be able to deal with an op. An op is gonna be right across the chow hall from you, right across the table. So it's no such thing as op.
They made him think that his opposite, if he really knew, they could operate together under the auspices of being black. Because I'm going to tell you something, son, for all you youngsters out there listening. In a penitentiary, one day is like 5,000 years. Don't start losing your aunties and your mamas and your kids and your brothers and sisters. You're going to be a maniac. Don't let them suckers fool you with that spider web. It's luring to the eyes, but flimsy in nature. It's going to grab you and stab you. Don't bullshit yourself. Like Flavor Flav say, don't believe the hype. 911 is a joke.
Exactly.
You ain't got to listen to us, because we ain't telling you to go out there and do nothing. But that Pelican Bay, you're going to listen to that Pelican Bay, because like the brother say, you're going to spend all your time convincing your homies that you hard, but you're going to spend a few years trying to convince that DA that you're a good person.
Wow. That's deep. That's what you call penitentiary rules in effect on the streets. That's
you gonna learn to walk. You gonna learn to drink water. You gonna learn to drink plenty of water and walk slow. And if you think I'm bullshitting, don't them know. I got partners I call right now and they're doing 40, 50 years. Keep playing, youngster. You see what they said in the movie Scarface? Quit fucking around. Keep fucking around, Hector. Hector got his ass threw out that helicopter. And stop blaming the babies, because it ain't their fault. You just got to give them some game, Las Vegas. Because the NBA does mean not black anymore. So I had to get my pitching out, man. But the NBA, son, means not black anymore, son.
Hey, G-Lou, Queen G.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Malik is the king of the ism. Whether y'all know it or not, he's the guru of ism.
Yeah.
Like Paul Mooney was the king of comedy.
That's Dr. Ism.
The doctor. The master with the master's degree.
All praise to
God.
Now, Dick Gregory not here no more. We still got Malik Spellman.
Praise be to Allah.
I'm always quiet when Malik called in. I just sit back and listen.
Well, let me tell you something, Sister Jean. Only a woman knows the pains of life are equal to the pains of death. I'm going to say it again.
Right.
Only a woman knows the pains of life are equal to the pains of death, and a nation can rise no higher than this woman. So behind every no good woman, there's a no good motherfucking man. And behind every bust-ass nigga that's out of killing black people, it's a punk bitch in front of them telling me great. I got to give it to you raw like hamburger meat from Bonds. Because you got to speak to the people in the language in which they understand. And then I'll activate one of them suckers either. Shut up, get
like
up, or
hamburger
challenge
meat for once. Come on now. Come on.
You
got
to get the behind me down, Malik.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen. But I'm serious, man. The game need a douche, my nigga. I'm sorry. It needs a Massingale. The whole game. Because the game is filthy. The game need a motherfucking disc. Because the game got STD. You know, the game got STD.
Massingale. Massingale.
What about the toilet?
He took it back.
What about that toilet?
Yeah, the game need a douche, my nigga. No offense, ladies. I appreciate y'all. But the game got STD. Period. Suckers, tough guys, and dummies.
And we need to clean this quarter
out,
y'all.
We got Marcus back.
Yeah.
That STD, baby. It's like a jungle sometimes.
Yeah,
it makes you wonder how I keep them going under. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the staircase because they just don't care.
Hey,
Malik.
Part right there.
And we gotta clean this toilet out as soon as possible. What about we gotta clean that toilet out? The toilet gotta get cleaned out.
Thank you. Brenda's got a baby. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the staircase like they just don't care. And then what my man said, Johnny Guitar Watson. Johnny Guitar Watson say he say something strange going on, something abstract going on.
Abstract.
And then he said, "Bow
wow." Got him.
Wow.
Hey,
we here for Johnny Guitar Watson, and let them know what we really thinking, man. On the ism tip, hit him with that Johnny. Some kind of strange going
that,
on, baby.
Yeah, that Johnny Guitar Watson. I think I've
got to hit him with that Johnny,
real,
so they can really
figure
it out.
A real mother for you. That's a real
mother. A real
mother
for you, baby.
Hey Malik, I just cleaned my toilet out, man. I'm ready to go ahead and go somewhere else with mine. I didn't clean this toilet out and clean my sink out, clean my bathtub out. Hey man,
and guess what?
What we're going through right now
is
a beautiful show.
Guess what it is now? Yard recall,
what?
Gentlemen.
Now 351 of you here.
Wow. That must be Tweed back there with that auction going on. Tweed, that's you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Let me, you
we
know,
heard,
it was a lot.
We heard Marcus, right? Didn't we hear Marcus?
That's all he was out there.
Yeah,
you're
on the phone. You know?
Sorry
Tweed
about that.
Tweed got an auction going.
I was watching
you
the
poll.
Hey,
let's
make sure. Hey, G. Lou, let's make sure Marcus is on the line because he's asking me, can we hear him? Because he don't know if we can hear him. Because I think he was speaking.
I can't hear him.
Hey, G. Lou.
Can you hear me?
And all right.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear him now. I can hear Marcus.
Yeah, we hear you.
Hey, in all actuality, this is a real clubhouse right here, Pippin.
That's right.
Yeah, this ain't none of that clubhouse crap, though. You're right. This is a real clubhouse.
Yeah,
other clubhouse is like a Mickey Mouse clubhouse. That's what that is.
See, the other clubhouse
like
is you
party can... line at 90. That's like the party line or something.
See, you
yeah,
get clubbed
that's
inside
that's
your
that's
head
crazy.
In the mother joint. See, the mother clubhouse, you get clubbed inside your head, and here, you're going to get hit in the head like Harry McBiff and Enlightenment because we're trying to raise the dead,
yeah.
baby, 90 degrees perpendicular.
Yeah.
Nine,
we trying to
nine,
raise the
seven,
dead
six,
bones,
seven,
homie.
70.
Thank you. We trying to raise the dead and go west, young man. We trying to raise the dead. We ain't got time to play with them. We trying to pull up the dry bones. Because what excuse can you give God on the day one of these suckers kill your ass for your ass not doing nothing for your people? Oh, man, I was a killer out there, Lord. Oh, did you ever heard that those is my chosen people? Oh, yeah, but I didn't think about that. Oh, well, get your ass in that fire.
Hurry up.
With the skedaddle. So, at the end of this, it's like a jungle sometimes. I appreciate y'all letting me vent. This is my psychological moment and my therapy. But I'm telling you some real shit. If your ass is still blinking, God, please, with your struggle.
Much love,
Malik.
Yeah,
I love you,
much
man.
Love.
And Malik Campbell, man, you got all we did is focus. When God speaks, things happen.
You can't stop
all
it.
All I did is speak Malik's name up, and Malik came on the show, and this is where he's supposed to be. We're supposed to be having this show. We're having this experience for a reason, for solution.
Exactly.
And you know what the reason was? People just dying in our streets right now, not just in L.A., not just in the Bay, not in San Diego, but all over the United States for no reason.
Let me tell you,
and wait,
every day there's three or four people out here. I just pulled up.
Hey, Malik, I just pulled up in Little Rock, Arkansas this morning. I had to come bring my son one of the big old box trucks. Like you said, generational wealth. I got my son-in-laws. I got seven daughters. I got some good son-in-laws. Really good, good solid dudes. I got them a big box truck, a 26-footer, man. They picked it up in Amarillo, Texas, and they took it back to Vegas to go on and start their business. I'm in Little Rock, Arkansas right now, checking on some things out here. But look, and in Little Rock, they're killing everybody. I'm talking about L.A. Woo.
Hold on. Stop right there.
Man,
stop right there. You know, the new abortion law that they're about to pass in a minute. First of all, before they just passed, we was having 5,000 abortions of black babies a day per neighborhood. Second of all, now you're about to see a lot of sisters get back dope production abortions. We in for a rude awakening, homie. And then if you don't know who the Margaret Broad is that created that book that created the abortion pill and how she got an award from Hitler, your ass in trouble. If you don't know how she went from black church to black church, convincing black women not, and then preachers not to have them babies, and then she wouldn't have a couple of babies herself, your ass in trouble. So you keep fucking around following these weirdos.
Huh. We
if you don't
babies,
know who the woman that invented the abortion pill is, your ass in trouble.
And we need our babies. We need every one of them babies. I got a new baby coming right now.
Yeah.
I got my daughter pregnant right now, about to have it any day now. I got
Thank
16
you.
Grandkids.
They have
three great grandkids.
They have 5,000. Oh, wait, let me stop. And to the brothers, y'all motherfucking ass know that we do more man-made abortions every day because all we wear is condoms. So they ain't pointing our sister finger at them sisters. Fool your ass wearing rubbers every day. So they told you your woman was contaminated.
Right.
But everybody else haven't been.
Right from responsibility.
So maybe this will bring some stability to our tribe. And we'll stop doing dumb shit.
Man, amen. Because I know one
thing
for me.
You're going to be stuck with that little motherfucker in a minute. That little albino, you finna be stuck with him, pimpin'.
Most black men run from that responsibility. I got seven daughters. I have never been on child support. Never. And I'm like, man, you guys can't get your license because you're on child support? I got a prison ministry, West Coast Prison Ministry. Anybody want their record cleared up out there, I'll help you. I'll help you get off get to with DA and help you get your license and everything back. I'm going to give you all that information too, G-Lou. Because
My record's so long, it would be like you cleaning up all of Motown's catalog.
Yeah, I wish it would come at me. My record. I got 27.
Damn.
I just pulled my record up today. Yeah, I got all that.
Damn.
You got to show your record.
That's crazy.
Scotty D.
Yes, sir.
Tell him how many cases Reverend Ali had.
I got them all cleared up. I got them all cleared up. He ran for mayor in San Diego. The brother on the phone, Rev Ali, ran for mayor in San Diego because I helped him clear his whole criminal record up. Ran for mayor.
Wow.
But
Ali
got a lot
that,
of game,
though.
He
nigga still a corrupt, though. He's still a crook, man. He a crook. Don't vote for him. Don't vote for him.
Hey, but that's the only way you can be a politician. You got to be a crook. He know what the language is.
Hey,
the dude that calling me a crook, he made me go to the store and get old English for him.
Wow.
Next on
those
TMZ.
Those were the days. Those were the days, boy. We have some. But look, he didn't tell you that he lived above the liquor store. He only had to walk 15 steps to the liquor store. Now, how fly was that? How fly was that? The liquor store is right there. Man, oh, my God. They had the flyest apartment I've ever seen in my life. You could stand on this nigga balcony and watch all the girls go to the library, you know, in San Diego, and the college is right down the street. All we had to do was stand in front of that liquor store and talk to girls all day. He had a fly department in San Diego. This nigga Ali is a player from the Himalayas. He can't spell Himalayas, neither can I. But that nigga been chilling since the fucking 90s. That nigga been chilling.
Queens, he ran my whole promotion company. When I told when we were doing the street promotion, Ali ran my whole street promotion operation. You know, then I had my record shops out there in different places. Ali was right there. Ali a good dude, man. He put together all my little stuff for my girls. He, you know, I made him chili, took care of, pulled him off the street. Not just him, but King T, DJ Pooh. A lot of people came through that whole little scenario that we were doing back then, and it all came from Roger Clayton, Uncle Jam's Army, Marcus' dad. Play this song. I want to hear what Marcus talking about. Marcus been doing beats and stuff for years, y'all. He grew up under that umbrella of the Uncle Jam's Army. He's seen the Houdinis, the Run DMCs. He knew them all personally. So that, he's a young scholar, and he's a good example of a young man. Lost his dad, found his way. He never lost his way because of his family,
right.
His aunties, right. And his grandmother, his grandpa. You know, when Roger passed away, it hurt a lot of us. It really hurt me because I had just left him. I had just left him. Me and him was on the street putting up posters. I left Roger with my car. I went out of town, and I left him with my car because his car was kind of messed up. He had something going on with his car. I left him with my vehicle. Came like the same story with Nipsey, the Nipsey and Malik.
Yeah.
I had just left my brother, left him with my vehicle, and came back home and had to speak at his service.
Yeah.
But that brother right there, I will never let nobody not let us. Like right now, we got the Hip Hop 50. The 50th anniversary of hip hop is next year, and what they're saying is it's about New York. No, it's not. We were doing it about the same time, 5 years later. But our first group out of New York was in Compton, California. And they were from the Bronx, New York, called the Soundmaster Crew. Just Ice is part of that. Just Ice is part of our group that we're in. So we have always been East Coast, West Coast. It was never a beef with us for 40-something years. When all that stuff was going on out there, I went to their hood day. Like we have a hood day in California, like every tribe have a hood day. I went to the hood day in New York with my Compton hat on. My Compton Soundmaster shirt on, representing that. And they were like, oh, so it's real? They didn't believe it was real until I showed up. All praise due to the Most High God. Now, Allah, I'm telling you, man, I went there. Them dudes did a whole film with Just Ice in it. And I'm the only one represented, you know, California, how our isms were in California. And it was no violence. We have never had a beef. To the East Coast, West Coast beef. I worked for Death Row Records for 10 years. I worked for Rap-A-Lot. Who else we was there, Ali? Rap-A-Lot, Tommy Boy. I worked for every major record label you can think of. That's
Giant,
why I know Snoop Dogg.
Hilltown, Atlantic, Priority, Ruthless. I mean, come on, man. L.A. Reid, Babyface. What's the one that Janet Jackson? I mean, you can just go on and on and on and on, man.
So to make a long story short, thank you, Ali. I appreciate you. Love you, bro. But to make a long story short, we were there when there was no violence. We were there and watched all these children playing in Rogers Clinton's realm. The children out there, not like the Dr. Dre. I would take the drum machine from DJ Pooh to Dr. Dre, from Dr. Dre back to DJ Pooh. They didn't have license. They didn't have cars. They were young kids. So how can they be representatives of a culture in the 50th anniversary of hip-hop? And they're going to miss Mixmaster Spade from Compton. They're going to miss Toddy T. They're going to miss Mixmaster Ken. They're going to miss DJ Train. They're going to miss Rudy Party from Dream Team. They're going to miss the female, only female we had that was a popular female signed to a major label, Trouble, MC Trouble. They're going to miss that stuff. They're going to miss even our Bay Area brothers.
She was
They're
going to
miss our Empire brothers if we don't do our own thing. So I put together my own thing. Now, they called me out the clear blue. I don't even know who these guys were. Called me out the clear blue and said, hey, Scotty, we need you. Okay, do that come with a check? Everybody's getting paid. It's one of my material to put into a Universal Museum in New York. I'm like, y'all can have an exhibit. Y'all not gonna take. I mean, my children got to eat. Marcus is Uncle Jan's Army. Marcus got all the archives from Uncle Jan's Army. They want his stuff for free. We don't. Why would you fatten up the frog for the snakes? Nobody's doing that.
Come on, man. Say that again.
I can't do that. I can't feed y'all myself.
Say that
so
one
what
time.
We're doing now, fatten up the frog for the snake.
He's a cold now, huh?
Yeah, man.
But he is.
Well, Malik got isn't, but Malik is that the brother that's who he is. I am who I am. The thing called hip hop, there's only a few people that can tell the entire story. We're not talking about, oh, just rap. No, we're talking about the after hours. We're talking about motorcycle clubs, skating rings, bodybuilding. I got a piece on bodybuilders from Tookie Williams to different dudes in every neighborhood had a bodybuilder, a weight. Somebody was lifting weights in every neighborhood back in the day. They had pigeon clubs. I don't know about birds. Rolling, tumbling pigeons. I got
rollers,
pigeons in
baby.
My film. I got that stuff in my film. We got stuff like the after hours. We got motorcycle club. We got the original dudes who did low ride. We talking about Big Hunch and Watch. A white boy Eric, rest in peace, my brother. Over on the west side, we got Charles Clayton. You know, one of the individual president, the bad, one of the dopest dudes to ever make a low rider. We got DJ Vegas out of Compton. We got Charles Clayton.
Hey, was Charles Clayton related to Roger?
No. That's a trip. But they knew each other.
Okay.
They knew each other. Hold on. Charles Clayton is the one who put the first low riders in every video from Cam. I mean, Charles did everything. Queen Latifah, everybody, the original videos that came out back in the 90s was Charles Clayton. He had the big Titanic limousine and King T video. Charles Clayton did it. He was the original, and he one of the dopest right now. I mean, you got
Charlie
Big Key out there doing his thing. But Charles, you know Charlie C. Tweet. You know, Ham was over there. Ham did all this production at Charlie C. House. So,
I'm so glad he's still here, man.
They're
talking
about the record shop. What about our record shop? They ain't going to talk about VIP records. They're not going to talk about
he had that
the
motorcycle
Empire,
accident,
how the
too.
Empire was our sister city. They're not going to talk about how we went from the Bay to L.A., how we made that connection with JT, the bigger figure. Now, look at JT. JT's over in Africa feeding and building water wells and stuff. And we were the first ones who grabbed his production, his music, and start promoting it for him. Took him to Jack the Rapper. We took JT to Jack the Rapper. We made him on a bicycle. Now he got a limousine. You know what I'm saying? We went to the Bay and met everybody out there before E-40 did anything. We met Too Short. Too Short got two cousins in Uncle Jam's Army. His DJs is Lance and Vance. The DJs for Too Short are his first cousins that live in L.A. Too Short's from L.A. He ain't really from the Bay, but he's from the Bay. He grew up in the Bay. So we was out there. Me and Roger went out there, and Too Short couldn't get in our show with Run DMC. Run DMC, I think it was the first Def Jam tour or something like that. Too Short couldn't get in. We brought him in. So we know these guys. We met Hammer out there. We Roger is a – man, Roger had me – and Roger was there, man. Roger was the man. And he trusted me so much with things because he couldn't do everything. And then he had a lot of friends that we were – you know, a lot of friends in Uncle Jam's Army. But when I came along on his second dance at Alpine Village, I met Roger on his second. Now, his first dance, his second dance at Alpine Village, I met Roger. Passing out flyers for my group called the Soundmaster Crew, which is out of Compton. DJ D, Richie C, Richard McMichaels, Drill Valentine, Derek Valentine, and DJ Juan, all of them were from Compton. Right there
Gerald
in
the Valentine.
Garden.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Gerald Valentine.
We were doing shows.
Him.
We were doing everything out there in the Lutheran Gardens, but we were doing parties every weekend, but we didn't have that crowd. So I went to Uncle Jam's Army visit, first dance at Alpine Village. I went to the second dance with some flyers
Alpine
for parties
Village.
That we were doing. I went out there and they caught me passing out flyers, and we had just did a rap contest at Lonzo's club called Eve After Dark. And Roger was there. Roger was there. Unknown was there. And because the next day, Alonzo came over to DJ D house and wanted to make a tape. DJ D was making tapes back then. I had not met Mixmaster Spade yet. So we did a show, boom. They wanted everything to happen. I go over to the show, the Roger show, and security guards caught me and said, yo, man, you can't be passing our flyers up in here. So I said, don't touch me. I'm gangbanging now. I'm still in the gang culture. Don't touch me. I'm gone. Roger ran over and said, hey, yo, you can't be passing our flyers. I said, I know that already. I'm gone, homie. No, no, no. Do you know the people on this flyer right here, the Soundmaster crew? I said, yeah, that's my group. Hey, man, I want them to perform at my show at the convention center, pre-Cadillac. He did not say sports arena. It hadn't happened yet. The convention center came before the sports arena. Am I right or wrong, pre-Cadillac?
Say that again, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
I said the convention center came before the sports arena. Do you remember that?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because that's where it was safe and it was good.
Right. We were the first group, your friends, the Soundmaster crew, DJ D and them was the first group to go down there and got on the stage before any rapper came from New York. And, Roger had no acts ever. So we went to the convention center. DJ D and them had about 5 minutes to do their thing. They did their thing, got off the stage. And Spade, every DJ that was there that night. So in my heart, what I say is the Soundmaster crew bought the water. Uncle Jam's army bought the concrete. We mixed it up on that stage that night, and we laid the foundation for West Coast hip-hop. That's
just my opinion.
Because after that, I joined forces with Ryan. You can't beat him. I tried to do some show. Me and Spade put money together and did some parties all around. And they weren't popping because you couldn't compete with what? Uncle Jam's army. You couldn't do it. So me and Roger started being friends. I quit doing what I was doing and started just working with him because Roger was so brilliant, man. He knew everybody. We would go to the Greek auditorium, right? He knew the security guards. He knew the secretary. He knew the people. He knew everybody everywhere that we were doing business with. Tripped me out. Because he was so involved. I mean, Roger knew songs. He knew people. And I had to, really feel that voice. Sometimes I had to go and do the same thing. Then sometimes I couldn't make it. So I would ask my partner that was working with me, Rev Ali, Ali, go over there and do this. And he would go do it. I mean, Roger was so a visionary that it's crazy to me. Roger started with VIP Records. Roger was a DJ there. One day, I'm going to tell you something. We was at a party. It's called a Toe Jam in Long Beach. We had a party, and Roger, they had a rap contest down there, right? And we did.
Shout out to the Toe Jam,
you know
jam,
who
man.
Was that? You know who rapped?
Wow.
You know who rapped at the rap contest? Snoop and Domino rapped at this rap contest, right? And Roger told him, he went right to him and said, look, you guys are good. You guys are going to be stars one day. Told him that. So later on, come to find, a couple years later, we had a party at the Compton Casino. I'm DJing at Greg Townsend Club at the same casino, me and Mixmaster Spade, but they're having a big coming out party for Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg with this song, D Cover. They had a party over there for him. And I'm DJing. So me and Spade ran over next door. We had one of DJ Vegas. We didn't have DJ Vegas going in. Get on the turntable. We wanted to go next door and see what was going on. Snoop walked in the door. And Roger walked in, too. And Roger said, what's up, Scotty? What's up, Rod? All of a sudden, Snoop said something to Dre. And Dre said, Dre was looking. What's up, Dre? He said, hey, Scotty. He said, what's up? I said, nothing. He said, hey, Roger. Roger said, what's up, Dre? And Dre said, hey, man, this is Snoop Dogg. Hey, I know who you are. And Snoop said, hey, Mr. Roger, Mr. Roger, or Roger, he didn't know that Roger was Uncle Jam's arm. He thought Roger was just Roger Clayton, the DJ from the Toe Jam that told him he's going to be a star.
Right.
Is that crazy or not? That's crazy stuff. Mm.
Wow.
And Snoop, to this day, I'm going to tell you, Snoop is a good person that's out there going doing what he's doing. Snoop is a student of hip hop, especially West Coast. Mm-hmm. When Spade got out of prison, Snoop laced him. I couldn't do it. Snoop laced that guy, gave him a truck, put some money in his pocket, put him on a song.
Yeah.
Brought him in because they were gang bangers getting into the music industry. Snoop is a student of hip-hop, and one thing I like about him, he never, ever shunned his people that was there before him. He loved that. He loved knowing King T was there before him. He loved knowing L.A. Breeze, MC Breeze was here before him. He loved that kind of stuff. But right now, we don't have a foundation because our story has never been told about what was rap. You got bits and pieces, you know, things going on, but it's never been told in entirety. And it's not just about the rappers. It's about the culture. We have some guys right now. You guys probably know these guys, too. Back in the day, we used to have a thing called street racing on Main and Florence every Thursday night. Every Thursday night, these guys was down there racing, burning rubber, whatever. It's like they're doing right now. Kids burning rubber, doing the figure eights and all that stuff, but they... Wildcats, whatever these kind of cars are, and Dodges. We had a thing called street racing in L.A. The dopest dudes down there was Kenny Russell and Tommy Bolton. Tommy Bolton is the fastest man, the fastest black man on earth. Like, you got the fastest black boat. You seen boat running? The fastest man on earth on that desert with a motorcycle flying, you know, going through the desert doing 200 miles an hour. That was Tommy Bolton. He has a thing called the International Street Races. That's part of my film. You know, I go deep. I go so deep. I go back into the rap part. I want to know who the West Coast first rappers were. The first West Coast rappers was not Dre and Disco Daddy because they got a record with Cletus Anderson on rappers, the Rappers Rap Group record label. No, the first people that, not matter of fact, not even the first, the only rappers that are documented in Harvard and Yale and every literary magazine around the world, even in the Library of Congress, it's the Watts Prophets. Father Omd,
my mentor.
Your mentor. Come on, Tweet Khaled. They are the only ones that are in the magazines and literature. It's not no Dr. Dre. It's not no
hip hop.
You don't stop sound the Sugar Hill Gang. None of them people are even in the magazine. It's the Watts Prophets.
Yeah, he told me that he used to write his poetry on brown paper bags. His first album was wrote. He was homeless on writing his poetry on a brown liquor store bag. And they blew the fuck up with the wisdom and the knowledge. And Father Omdi is like 82 years old right now. And still, he just dropped a new project about a month ago. He is still active.
On his birthday. Remember on his birthday.
Yep.
On his birthday.
Yep. Yeah, Father Omdi.
Him and my uncle are best friends.
Wow.
Him and my uncle are best friends. Yeah, that's my cousin. Yeah, they're best friends.
Father Omdi told me what happened was we had sampled Pimpin' Linton and Phoenix, one of my biggest hits came from the Watts Prophets. And he said, I need to meet this guy before I can give up the clearance for the sample. And he met me. And just ironically, I was on a date with my wife. It was our first date. And he took us to a Thai restaurant in Hollywood. And he sat across the table and he looking at me, at my girl. He's like, see the one, Tweed. See the one. He told me that. He told me that. And we got back in the car, went back to the Lutheran Gardens, and when I told him, man, that I got my first child, Cheyenne, he said, I already knew it, sir. I already knew that she was the one. Man, the Lutheran Gardens changed my perspective on a lot of things. I remember during Valentine, but Father Omdi was very, very instrumental in my life. And I'm glad he's still in my life, and I'm glad he's still doing very well, man. Friendships are priceless.
They need to be.
They're priceless.
Am I right or wrong? Please, them brothers need to be a part of Hip Hop 50. Am I right or wrong?
Well, they are, and they should be more out there. You know, it's like I interviewed Omdi
Man, I need to call in to put him on the G Lou show. Wait a minute, I thought you did you interview Omdi as well, G Lou?
I'm not sure. I think I did, Tweet. Not sure though.
Well, we need to revisit because he got some new shit. I'll call him in the morning.
Okay.
And get him back on. But that man has so much wisdom. He got so much wisdom, man. Oh my God.
He's one of our national treasures, man. That brother is so
indeed.
Deep. Can I call you Pop? Instead of calling you Father, can I call you Pop? He said, hold on, let me get my son online. His son came in there and his son interviewed me. He said, yeah, you go ahead and call, you can call him Pop. I'm like, wow.
Man. And he that don't mind giving you game. He never, if I call him, I used to call him my spiritual advisor because whenever I'm feeling down or I have an issue that I can't get the answers through, I could call him up and he would always give me the answers to whatever my problem was because he's a thinker. He's a thinker. And the man, just the spirit in his heart, man, he is someone that I am truly glad that I met. And as I was saying, I remember Gerald Valentine. I remember Richard. I remember Clint, Mr. Hardy. All the people that I met when I moved to Luton Gardens, man, that was an experience that I would never trade that for nothing in the world. And I had never ever been to Compton,
California. Compton, the mecca of music.
Never been to Compton. I had an apartment on Van Ness and 62nd. And when Cheyenne, when we was about to have Cheyenne, my Sharon said, well, my mother can get us a two-bedroom apartment. And that's how I ended up going to Compton. And all the people that I met there was really instrumental in my life, and I truly, man, respect my journey. I respect you, man. Man, it's so deep, dude. Till this hip hop shit, man.
Yeah.
That you know how they say, hip hop is a lifestyle. We've been living it all life.
Well, that's a blessing
and,
right there.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Yeah, it really is a lifestyle.
What I'm doing right now, I'm trying to when I talk to you guys tomorrow, I'm letting them know this West Coast thing got to start with Father Omdi, the Watts Prophets. They came out of the Watts Writers Workshop in Watts during the Watts riots.
Yeah.
And what they did is so instrumental. Like, matter of fact, come on, the second album was called what? Rapping Black in a White World.
Yeah.
Before,
and guess what?
Called,
he was on drugs. And he was on, he told me, he said, me and my wife was both on drugs, and she would be asleep, and we was homeless, and I'm writing poetry on a brown liquor store paper bag. And look how they touched the fucking world. Everybody always talk about the last prophets. I'm sorry, the last poets.
Last poets.
But if you can, their Chicago struggle up against the Watts Prophet struggle were similar, but the impact was the same. Man, Father Omdi, man.
And they don't get that pop, man. They need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now, period.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's my goal. Before I leave this planet, I'm pushing that line. You know,
I would like
told
to do
that
as well.
The Masters are
like
$1 million right now. They got the Masters. He owns everything. He owns all. Tweet. He has a ranch out in Humboldt County. He don't have a 40 acres and a mule. He got 68 acres and some tools.
I already know, man.
He got
60
acres and some tools. You know what it is.
I know.
You know what it is,
we
brother.
Talk. That man stood by me.
Hours. It's not no 5-minute conversation.
You can't even get on the phone with him for 5 minutes. You can't even get him on the phone for 5 minutes. It's impossible. But the knowledge that you're going to get from that man, when you do finally hang up the phone, you're going to have clarity and you're going to be okay. Much love, man, to Anthony Hamilton. That's his real name. You all call him Father Omdi. That's his stage name. But Anthony Hamilton, that's his real name. And that man has been instrumental in my life
for over 40 years.
Wow.
For real.
He only been in mine for 7, man. Them 7 seem like a lifetime. Just to be speaking to him. Because I talked to him. I was on him for a minute. But you know how I got in touch with him? Through Rev Ali on the Tweed Cadillac show. Remember, I came in and I asked him some questions. I said, so Father Amdi, how did you go about doing the eulogy for Bob Marley? And he told us the story, how he got to do the eulogy. He was about to be signed to Bob Marley's label with the Wailers doing the music and him and his group, the Watch Prophets, doing the rapping. Incredible. So the West Coast story has never been told before until now.
It is.
We have to put this in a time capsule, and we have to include brothers like Malik. You know, we have to be servants. I'm a God servant, God body all the way. I have to serve my people, and before I leave this earth, the story will never be told because nobody's going to tell it. They're scared.
Good shit.
We have to do this, and we don't have to do it. It's already being done. And, I mean, it's out there already. We'll see what's going on. We're on the G-Lou show. G-Lou, Queen G.
Yeah, yeah.
Play that song. If y'all play that song, please, Marcus. He's listening. A lot of people are listening. I don't know how many people on your line right now, but go ahead and play that Marcus song. I never heard Marcus rap. I've seen Marcus doing beats back in the days. Marcus told me he's going to be a rapper. I'm like, boy, you better go over and just run your daddy's store. And we would come in. I would bring different groups out to the shop, right? And they would always stop and talk to Marcus. I said, no, Roger's over here. They would just stay there and talk to Marcus. I'm trying
Marcus
to get
was a magnet.
Man, I mean, he would just start talking and hold down the interview. I brought brothers from out of town, New York ones. I'm driving them all over L.A., taking them to Wise Compton, showing them where, you know, so everything. I could have started me a tourist attraction right now. I could have had a tourist attraction because I knew where everything was, where they filmed Minister Society, where they filmed everything in L.A., you know what I'm saying? Even you know, some of the tragedies that happened in L.A., you know, with Straight Outta Compton. You know, I was on a video set when all that happened. The next day, I'm talking to Terry Carter. I'm talking to other brothers over there. I talked to Suge because I worked for Death Row. I asked Suge, let me get your number so I can go ahead and call you. So my writer can call you so I can get an interview with you for what I did at Death Row Records. The next day, you know, we had a tragedy, you know, and it is what it is. And I love being a part of this thing we call hip hop now, but back then it was called rap. Before it had a name, we were on it. We were cradling the baby. We were breastfeeding the baby on the West Coast. Roger Clayton was a spearhead of it. You know what I'm saying? And I just happened to be right there with him. I was just, you know, I just love the way God gave me the keys like a maintenance man to be able to still be alive right now, to be talking about it and be able to put it in a time capsule for the world to see we have a story that has never been told before. You can't start me with Dr. Dre. You can't start me with Snoop. You can't start me with nobody. What's the boy's name up in the NCI? You got to talk about Sir Mix-a-Lot. Come on, man. He was in real estate back then. He was the only rapper ever in real estate because his manager was a real estate agent.
And that's why he got the plug.
Exactly. So you know how it is.
And that's how he knew. If you knew better, you would do better. If you got somebody around you could tell you, direct you. Man, Mix-a-Lot had major, that's why his career, he could come back with some shit still if he wanted to. But all the money that he made off the real estate is phenomenal. And he still got his publishing if they ever used this shit. I saw a Mix-a-Lot. He went to some college in Seattle and had the live orchestra playing his music in front of all these white people. I mean, that is super big. Super big.
He got back. Yeah.
Man. Man, peep this.
You know, we have some, we got this, our though. West Coast story has never been told. Come on, Hammer was one of the world's greatest entertainers. Hammer. We shunned him because he was what? He was a dancer with the parachute pants and all the different outfits. He was coordinating. But he went diamond. You barely went street. You know what I'm saying? It's like that dude was one of the greatest entertainers, but they're not going to talk about him because of what? He got parachute pants on. He's not hip-hop. It's all hip-hop. It's all rap.
But look, though, Annie was on a label that didn't even have rap music. They took a chance with him. When that shit blew up, now they was kissing his ass.
Well, they had rappers.
Man.
They had rappers. So when King T
no,
was signed,
Capital,
King T was the
Capital,
first one.
Capital.
Right. King T was the first they, one. King T was the first one signed the rap catalog over there. It was King T. King T came in. I dropped the proposal off. So whatever happened after that, they did good. There was a lot of labels
they
on
they was calling Capitol Records the house that Hammer built. Hammer made them so much. Hammer made them as much money as Nat King Cole did. Hammer tried to do the best thing for everybody involved, and look where it left him. You know, I'm not saying that he made a wrong decision by trying to help his people. I just think that he should have went about it wrong because a lot of niggas walked away with some money and never looked back, you know.
You would have did the same thing. You would have did the same thing. You would have put all the homies on, everybody that you knew, that you loved. The same way Hammer did.
I would do the same thing.
One thing about Hammer,
love to give him a job.
He's not broke. The brother ain't broke.
No.
I tell you that. He ain't broke.
No.
He ain't struggling. He's alive. Like Malik said, he wake up with a blink every morning looking at his bank account. And he's still doing shows. Come on. You know Coolio.
I just wish he could have helped his house.
The street.
I just wish he could have held on to his house, though. Because that house, he designed it. That was his baby, man. And then, you know, he ended up losing that. Of all things, that's like humiliating to lose your dream house. You know, it's like that he designed and built. I just wish he could have kept that. You feel me? Mm-hmm. All of the money, at least I got my houses paid for. That would have been cool.
It's called new money. It's called new money.
Yeah.
You go ahead and work on the new money. You lose that, you get the new money. Like Coolio, come on, man. He lives across the street. He didn't even have a rap name. They called him Old Man, and he had so many different names.
Yep.
He never
old
had a
man.
Rap name.
Yep. Old Man.
Coolio.
I remember that.
Yeah, little Old Man down. Boom, he Coolio, a national treasure now. He need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame also. But they thought, you know why he's not, they don't put him on every show and nobody really talk about him? Because they never thought he would make it. That's a cold line.
And then when
they
he went
never
to the Grammys,
thought he would make
when
it.
He went to the Grammys and turned that shit out, now everybody was riding his dick. They was on
but
his
they never
dick
thought he
like
was gonna make it, bro.
Yeah.
But you got to think about. You know why Snoop even said his name on that song with the dramatic. Reason why Snoop said Coolio's name, like I said earlier, I was DJing next door, me and Spade, at Greg Townsend Club in the Compton, Ramada. They had a party for Deep Cover over in the big part. Snoop, Coolio, and some other dudes up in there, and they was rapping, battling, like going head up. Coolio was a battler back then. He was part of my clique, and they was going at it. And Snoop said Coolio put him up on some game. And to this day, he said the same thing. I asked him about it personally, like face-to-face. He said, man, where Coolio at? They never talk about Coolio because they said that's just my opinion. Nobody thought he would make it like that.
Man, I got a cool Coolio story, too. I like to chill. One day we was in Compton, right? Coolio had a yellow Hummer. I never forget this day. And he gave a barbecue at Mona Park. I'm talking about catered, where they had the people all out there, you know, setting it all up. He was giving back to the neighborhood, right? Man, do you realize by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all the food was gone. I was watching girls tell their kids to make plates. They were transporting plates to their car, dude. They ravaged the food. Niggas was shooting dice. And it's like, damn, try to give y'all niggas something. And then it's like, look how niggas did it. They just, man, they just ran through the whole event. And then here come the sheriffs, and then they turned it out. And it was like, wow, he did try. At least he tried to get back to the neighborhood. But, man, I felt so bad for him because I know that that shit cost him some money, man. And niggas just disrespected that shit.
Think about what Malik was saying, that's that nigga syndrome. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. I mean, we got black folks, and then we got Negroes.
Yeah.
It's like what we're going through right now. Come on, we've never seen the violence that's really going on right now ever. How can you get killed on your job? Look at the young man, young Draco. He get killed on his job. He's going to do his job, and he get killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slim 400, yeah. They kill him in a bad way, and it was on videotape. That's bad. They killed Nipsey. Nipsey's dead.
Yeah.
These are all young proteges in the thing we call hip hop and rap.
Crabs in the barrel. Crabs in the barrel. Now imagine if the violence came to LA like how it is in Chicago. King Von and Duck and all of them. Imagine if that was in LA. Praise the Lord that
well,
it's not.
Well,
then all the rappers
is.
Would be killed.
It is in L.A., but it's on a different level. It's the same killing in Chicago, Detroit, Little Rock, Arkansas, Atlanta. But L.A. just happened to be on some other shit. How can you, first you killing, and you stop, and you go breaking in a bunch of stores, everybody just running in, grab stuff. That's, man, y'all make us like assholes. Straight.
I know. But we was doing some massive crabs back in the 80s, too, though. That ain't really nothing new.
But that was,
just
come on, bro. Oh, whoa. Wait, come on, man. That was hustling we was doing. We was smashing, grabbing at nighttime.
We
was taking out at nighttime. It wasn't no broad daylight. You grabbing stuff.
And Pampers and shit. You're right.
Yeah. It's different
that
now.
Book.
You grabbing dumb shit. You grabbing bullshit.
Yeah.
You ain't grabbing no jewelry to go hock it tomorrow. What
yeah,
you call it?
Exactly.
We should call it bash, do a bone, means running, get away, wake up in the morning, and buy a bone. That's what we would do. Bash, do a bone, wake up in the morning, and buy a bone.
You said buy
Ice-T
a bone?
Part of that. By a brougham, like a brougham. A brougham is like a
Cadillac.
Yeah.
I was just confirming. I know what it is. I was just confirming.
Brougham.
I was just confirming. But,
it was a different atmosphere. Like when I walk in the room now, when I go like to different churches, juvenile halls, I check the temperature. I'm a thermostat. I change the temperature in the room. These young people, I can't. You know, change the level on that. It takes a collective effort from every tribe in Angeles, Compton, Watts, in Long Beach, in the Valley, and everywhere that is happening at. And
they
got to
control their kids.
Effort.
They can't control their kids.
It's not a one-person effort. But
it's all about respect, though. It's respect, though. You should be able to look at your kids collectively, and if you can instill in them, look, don't do nothing crazy. It could spread. But these parents nowadays, they want to be friends with their kids or the kids out there doing dumb shit and giving them money so they turn that naked eye to shit. And then when it get out of control, now they all on TV crying and asking for barbecues to help bury him. But there was a lot of these parents be living off of their kids and know their kids is doing dirt, know their kids is out there doing scandalous shit. So that's a problem as well. You feel me? I understand the can of corn. Even Sharon used to tell me that we used to take food over there to Coolio Mama because Coolio Mama wasn't doing that good. You know that story. I ain't trying to say all the real inside shit. but they wasn't doing that good. And that can of corn, it always stuck with me, man. So if anybody was worked for it, it was Coolio. And I remember doing a show in New Orleans with Coolio when he was with Dub C, and the crowd was all on Coolio. Wasn't nobody even tripping off Dub C. Coolio was a star back then, and I witnessed that. You know, man, we was all on a plane together, and I didn't even know, I hadn't even moved to Compton then, but I knew Coolio before I even moved to Compton, and the crowd was on that man. He was a star, and it wasn't just because of the hair. Everybody, he had a distinguished look, but it wasn't just because of the hair. Coolio had style, flow, finesse, grace, presence. He had everything it took to be a rapper. And we ain't going to talk about the
cat. I like that. Tweet. Let's talk about that, because to be a good rapper, man, you got to have – I talk to Coolio every day.
You got
to
have everything.
It's a package. And he's exactly. One of the guys – I mean, when he got with me when he was 16 years old, you know, right there in Lutheran Gardens, he always had a different type of flow. He knew how to adjust. And it's not a lot of artists can't adjust to the time. This dude is dead. I'm 60 years old. Coolio's like 3 years younger than me. And he still can flow. He's been doing shows all over the world. He just came from Australia. Been down there for a month. So if you're still relevant like that, and you're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, something is wrong with the picture. I love Kendrick. I love everybody from Compton that ever did anything from Compton. And I love all my artists. I mean, come on, DJ Quick, your protege that brought you in. You
man,
know,
what I love about Coolio, though, not to cut you off, is that once you get a hit record, you really can live off of it. I've watched so many rappers live off a one-hit song. And by Coolio being in that movie, that man could go anywhere internationally and be respected as if he was young back in the 90s. He paved his own way, man. Man, and look, you know what's even funny about it? Coolio, well, no disrespect, but Coolio is bigger than Dub C right now. Because if Coolio can go book his own solo show, Dub C really, you know, I'm sure he's satisfied by being with Cube and he getting his loot and whatever, and not take nothing Dub C tight. But I don't think Dub C could book internationally the way Coolio still can to this day. That right there is commendable. A lot of rappers cannot do that, homie. He should have his
I know one thing for sure, man. He's been my friend for more than 50 years, man. And I'm gonna know one thing. This boy been all around the world. He's been over in Afghanistan.
Several times.
He got proclamations. That part.
Several times. Not just one time. That nigga been in countries that niggas can't even pronounce. Feel me?
No. He been in countries people have never been to.
And they singing this shit word for word. Wow.
You know what?
He's a part of us.
If he make it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we make it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because we family. You know what I'm saying? He's a sound master.
He's absolutely right.
So not to cut you off, Tweed, but I'm going to tell you something, man. That Compton car from that Mecca, just right there being in Lutheran Gardens back in the days like that, and people don't know, those guys over there was from New York. They started it. The guys who put Coolio on was from New York City, from the Bronx. It's called Castle Hill Project. The Castle Hill, where Just Ice is from. Just Ice is part of the Soundmasters, and they started in 1973. That's why next year is Hip Hop 50. They trying to exclude the West Coast. How can you exclude the West Coast when we're a part of it? From that point, right there in the Lutheran Gardens, that's a good point. How did Coolio
get his solo career? How did Coolio
get his solo career? He got his solo career with Paul Stewart. Paul Stewart, the white dude? Paul Stewart?
Yeah, from Def Jam West. Def Jam West.
Paul Stewart.
Okay, now
Paul Stewart,
I remember.
You know,
I remember the white boy, Paul Stewart. Yeah.
Paul Stewart did something.
Okay.
Not to take names from Paul.
That.
I mean, I was trying to get everybody a deal. But Scotty D was doing what? Making his own money with them sweatsuits, man. You know what I'm saying? They were doing their little thing with their music, but we was making $1 million a month. Like Freeway Rick was making $18 million a month in the dope game. We was making $1 million a month selling dope too, dope clothes. Kanye West is my business partner's first cousin. People don't know that. So the piece I've been working on for the last month got Kanye in it, and this lady named Thelma Wright. She's a queen pin of the drug game out of Philadelphia. Her husband got killed. I did not know this lady was a drug dealer.
I've interviewed her.
You seen
I've
it?
Interviewed
Hold
her.
On.
I've interviewed
okay,
Thelma Wright.
Tell me something. If you interviewed her, did she say anything about sweatsuits? No, she didn't. This lady was my business partner. She was my business partner back then. I didn't know she was a drug dealer until last year, November.
She was a baller, dude.
Dude, she came to us with
$40,000.
Because everybody had money. Everybody
had
money in L.A. back then. Everybody. All the females I messed with looked like Anita Baker anyway, smelled good. And she just came with $40,000 and was trying to make sure. I thought she was going out of town, you know, like open up her shop like we had stores in every city. Thought she was one of them. But then she came with more money. Okay, she making good money out there. One day she came with $400,000. We already making art. Well, we make it. We ain't tripping. And then when I started working on this film, my partner's business partner, he died, but his first cousin, Big John, is first security for Kanye. Because like I said, Kanye is a first cousin. He would come out every summer and hang out and all that stuff. He wasn't doing music back then, but he wanted to. Anyway, John said, Scotty, man, if you work on the film, you got to get them on. I said, oh, cute Thelma? Pretty Thelma? He said, yeah, you need to get Thelma on the film. I said, why? Because Thelma, she's on the Queen Pins of the Drug. I'm like, really? For what?
Yeah.
She was a dope dealer. Okay. What? No, her husband, she's a big what? So I Googled her, right?
Good
I Googled
job.
It. Twenty. I Googled it. I looked. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I tracked her down through social media, hooked up with her son, and everything. Make a long story short, she called me, Scotty, I've been looking for y'all. I didn't know y'all was I got them on a 3-hour interview, right? And we just finished this week. That's why I was in California. I did not know Thelma was a drug dealer.
Yeah.
When you see you see the film I put together, the interview, you'll be like, dang, Scotty, y'all really was part. She straight said, I just had to find a way to wash my money. We protected her. She was with Jack's Limousine Service and all that, bro. She put money in that.
Exactly. And her dude got killed. Her dude got killed on, what street was that, Florence, and it was like, it may used to be a car wash. Remember Freeway Rick spot, the House of Chrome, that was on Florence and Western back in the day. Freeway Rick had a rim store called the House of Chrome that was on Florence and Western. Well, anyway, it used to be a baller car wash a couple blocks down on Florence going toward Crenshaw, and dude got killed at that car wash. And what happened was she took over everything, and it was all the connections was already there. She just picked it up and kept that shit pimping. Oh, yeah, she's way out. She's way out.
But
she had it for life.
Think about Tweed. You got a sweatsuit shop. You got two stores in L.A., one in Compton, one in Pacoima. I did before they even started, 2P's and B before WAC 100 and all of them. I know it's Daddy and all. Make a long story short, how can you be doing this and your business partner is a queenpin in the drug game? And you don't know because we was having so much money, nobody was tripping off that. It was just so much money we had so much money we couldn't put it in the bank. We had to put it inside the soda pop machine. You walk in the store, can't get the soda, it don't work. But you got sodas up in there. When the feds came in and rushed us for making them fake theaters and Louis Vuittons and all that, they took the suits, but they didn't get the money. The money was inside the soda machine. Thelma
there you go.
Was, pretty lady. She was a business partner. We even gave her, she bought a shop around, she bought our old shop around the corner, put the sign up. Make a long story, I didn't even know. And she did not tell us because she was trying to just wash her money, and she trusted us as brothers.
And when she protected y'all by not telling y'all. She protected y'all by not telling y'all. Hey, Queen Jean, are you still on the line? Hello? Queen Jean, you there?
Yes.
Queen Jean, not to change the subject, but Mishi is in there watching Phyllis Hyman live in Tokyo, Japan.
Where?
It's on YouTube. Hell of a concert. Phyllis Hyman live, Tokyo, Japan, 1996. Check it out. She's blowing.
Okay. I'm going to go.
She's
okay,
blowing, man.
You
will enjoy. You will enjoy.
Thank you.
All right,
man. I love Phyllis, man.
You going to play a Marcus song?
Yeah,
oh,
please, man. I want to hear it myself.
Well, Marcus checked out. Okay.
Because we like way over time. I'm surprised.
Way over time.
Man, we ain't got cut off.
We're
going to
go out with this song, but Marcus checked out already. But we're going to bring Marcus back on, I think, next week or after that to get him back in here. Queen, you still there?
I'm here.
Yeah, she's still there. Okay. We're going to play Marcus' song before we check out of here. So here it is, Marcus Clayton, DUI.
All right, man. Good night, y'all.
I love y'all.
Peace and love.
Pulling me over. Yeah.
Driving privilege has been previously suspended as a result of a refusal to submit to such test. Your refusal to submit to a chemical urine is admissible into evidence against you in any criminal proceeding. Understand what I read to you?
Hell no, but I refuse to answer any questions under the grounds that they may incriminate me.
You want me to explain this to you?
No, hell no. You explain them to my motherfucking lawyer.
In my iris, like I was Akanashi Jewish. I was born into this, fifth super psycho, Roger Clayton's son, Uncle Jam's harmony. The thing go loud, loud, you try to harm me. Where I'm from, niggas just post up with assorted artillery. And don't dance, he need to put you in the ambulance. The wild hunted, I never had to fuck with the army, nigga. The guy was raised in Afghanistan, phasing wayside, and feeds it soft. Niggas went to Bayside, where I rested so ill, triggers was quick from both sides. I put the link in every verse and swung that bitch on Norman Die. Bitch, my lie, I'm still here. Niggas didn't even graze a hair. Niggas are evil and don't play fear.
Dominate, you idiots. Dominate, you idiots. I'm dope under the influence. My bloodline legendary.
Bloodline legendary.
DUI. Dominate, you idiots. Dominate, you idiots. I'm dope under the influence. I'm dope under the influence.
Dynamic, uncanny influence. Queen, drop the panties. I'm damaging and uncontrollable on that fanny. Drum usage incredible to get chips. Put dimes under interiors. Knowledge itself, divine understanding inferior. Never dividends accumulate. Niggas need to be pistol whipped the way they imitate. 80s LBC baby hopping gates. Rating low quad speeds, breaking busters if they violate. The riots crack. My mama told me to loot the Cambodians. Me and the homies busted the crack glass and busted in. Spoiled the war for the have not. Diplomatic focused on my cash pot. Never took the stand, smoke gas for real niggas at the stash pot. GD intelligent, fuck a BAC.
Dominate, you idiots. Dominate, you idiots. I'm dope under the influence. My bloodline legendary.
Bloodline legendary.
DUI. Dominate, you idiots. Dominate, you idiots. I'm dope under the influence. I'm dope under the influence.
Crack, nigga.